Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Is she looking at me now?
No.
How about now? Is she looking over here now?
No.
What about now? Is she looking now?
No, she's not looking at you, dude. Will you quit asking me if she's looking at you? She hasn't looked at you. Wait, she just looked.
See what I'm saying, man?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ow! What the hell are you kicking me for? Fine, I'll ask her. You want me to ask her, ma'am? Where do the high school girls hang out around here?
Paul Perillo.
The scotch on the rocks. Please, any scotch will do. As long as it's not a blend, of course. Single malt. Glenlivet, Glenfiddich, perhaps. Maybe the Glengow. Any Glen.
And Andy. And Andy?
Look, we're going to spend half the night looking for this one party, and you're going to say it sucks, and we're all going to leave, and then we'll go look for this other party. But all the parties and all the bars, they all suck. I spent half the night talking to some girl who's looking around the room to see if there's somebody else who's more important she should be talking to. And it's like I'm supposed to be all happy because she's wearing a backpack.
Andy Hart.
You know, and half of them are just nasty skanks who wouldn't be nothing except they're surrounded by a bunch of drunken, horny a**s. I'm not going to be one of those a**s.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
When you go up to talk to her, man, I don't want you to be the guy in the PG-13 movie everyone's really hoping makes it happen. I want you to be like the guy in the rated R movie, you know? The guy you're not sure whether or not you like yet. You're not sure where he's coming from, okay? You're a bad man. You're a bad man. You're a bad man.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You know what, big boy? You're grown up. You're grown up. Yeah, dig that. Because you're grown up and you're grown up and you're grown up.
All right, we're grown up. We're all here. Andy and Eric are back from the combine. Paul is here after what I gather was a stellar performance on Thursday. Rave reviews from all the listeners.
They won an Oscar for it.
They were looking for a reason to make fun of him, but he gave them nothing. All he gave them was a fine show. So Paul's here, and 2G is in the booth, although there's less of him these days. Andy's very concerned because 2G's losing weight at a very fast pace.
He's withering away.
He's a piece of paper. And then he tells me when he was in college, he was fat. So in the last 4 years, he's lost 50 pounds.
So we're concerned. What, did you have lunch? What'd you eat? Huh?
Chicken parm calzone.
Oh, that's good.
Have That'll you been to the you. Doctor lately? Get a physical, all the testing, make sure there's no
all right.
diseases or anything.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482. I was going to call in during my vacation, but I couldn't remember that number.
Did you go anywhere, Fred?
What's that?
You didn't have a piece of paper on a window right next
to
wherever you were?
No.
Did you go anywhere?
No, I just did one of those staycations.
That's a staycation, not the kind Eric does.
Oh, no, I repainted the office.
Oh, sounds great.
It came out really nice. I'm very proud of myself.
But that Zavarian thing is really cutting into your budget.
You
isn't
got
it?
That right. I'm my kid got into Zavarian Brothers High School, so now I got to pay tuition.
And now the highlight of your vacation was painting the office.
No, I was very proud.
Did you even go out to dinner? Or
oh,
like,
a couple times, you know, but nothing really big.
See a show?
No.
Really?
See a show.
I don't know.
You wouldn't go see a show.
No, I know, but you're rich, and that's what rich people do.
What?
Did you see any of the Oscar-nominated movies?
Nope.
None,
nope.
Huh?
I didn't. So
I'm disappointed.
Don't you usually pride yourself on seeing them all?
No, that's not me.
Oh.
you have me confused with someone else.
The old Fred Kirsch. No. Yeah, that's who you have him confused with.
I haven't seen you in so long. I don't really
Anyway, know. There is a lot to talk about. A lot of good off-season hot stove stuff. Obviously, we're going to get big time into the combine and what you guys saw and heard last week and over the weekend. And, you know, all the other hot stove rumors that are out there. Matt Cassel, Fred Taylor.
Vince Wilfork news over the weekend as well.
Vince Wilfork. They're talking to Vince Wilfork about extending his deal. Julius Peppers just got slapped with the non-exclusive franchise tag.
Vince
what do you think about one-to-one swap. We give them Castle, they give us Peppers.
Done.
Done? You sure. Like it?
Anyone else?
Yep.
Okay, there's one. Like everybody likes that?
Why not? Sure. Yeah, I'm sure Carolina wouldn't, but...
Why wouldn't they get a quarterback for the future?
Not worth Julius Peppers.
You don't think so? Age? You're looking at age here?
Not that much difference.
No?
A couple of years? I mean, is Peppers 30?
I think he's going to be 30 either this year or...
Someday he will be 30.
One of these days, that kid's going to be 30.
I look at Peppers as being a better NFL player right now than Matt Castle.
Oh, certainly. He's had double-digit sacks, like 4 of 6 seasons.
If I were the Patriots, I would do that too. No question.
Okay.
Now, you're still going to have to spend a lot of money, but since you already have $14 million on the cap, that shouldn't be an issue.
Randy Moss had some interesting comments as
well. We'll talk about that in a second, but I want to thank... Well, go ahead, Paul.
I was just going to say, we give... John Tomasi some credit there. That was a nice piece that he had on Randy Moss, and he was down in Florida as part of the Boston Herald spring training coverage, but went over to was it Jupiter, Florida?
Yes, yep.
Where Heath Evans' charity softball game is. He got the Will Fork story that that Eric alluded to, and then also got the bonus of Randy Moss, and he rarely speaks like that in that kind of a setting. And it was a nice piece.
As usual, when he speaks, he says something interesting. Yeah. Has good quotes.
You know, he's whipping boy number one around here for obvious reasons, and he deserves that for a lot of those reasons.
Yep.
But give him some credit for that piece.
Great cash, homie.
Little initiative. I like that. what was I going to say?
You said Iggy. You wanted to thank.
Oh, I want to thank Iggy from Spain for today's lunch.
Amigo con grande cabeza.
It comes from Pizzeria Grande, but by way of Iggy from Spain. So I just want to read Iggy's email. He might have another one, but he sent this one in. First, congratulations for Mr. Perillo for his great solo show. It was interesting and entertaining. The show was very well prepared, and the Mike Reese interview was really informative. When I remember that debacle of his other solo show, I can see Paul did learn his lesson.
I think you benefited from that a little bit with the expectations for the show. They came in with, like, they were just going to mock you for 2 hours straight.
He says, well, Iggy goes...
I could just say this. I did no more preparation for this show than I did for that show. The only difference is Mike Reese. So give Mike Reese all
so
the
you
credit.
Did do more preparation. You called and booked a guest.
No preparation whatsoever. I flung by the seat of my pants.
I think that this is still Iggy. I think the conversation with Reese about the Wilfork situation was especially interesting because it is true that any top free agent on defense automatically means a huge expense, and the Pats would create themselves a problem if they do so before taking care of Vince. My question is, if the Pats have the cap room to both sign Wilfork and a top free agent, and if so, who is the best defensive player available?
Defensive player available.
I was going to say Peppers, but then he got the tag, so he's not really a free agent.
But he's available.
He's available.
Well, yeah. I'd say Peppers.
Probably.
If he counts as being available, I would say Peppers as well.
Okay.
But there's some good players. Yeah. Ray Lewis is a good player. He's older, so that comes into the equation there in terms of how valuable he is.
Terrell Suggs, pretty good player. Brian Dawkins.
Older
guy, like Andy said. I mean, there's a lot of good names.
You're getting Peppers for 5 years of solid play.
In his prime. Yeah, I mean, it's going to cost
Lewis,
you a lot.
Lewis, you're getting two. Dawkins, you're getting two. Those are like 13-year veterans.
Suggs is still in his prime, too, but I think Peppers is a better player than Suggs.
Right.
Yeah, I'd say.
Well, let's get right into it. Let's get into the combine because that's the freshest stuff. And you guys were out there. You saw these guys with your own two eyes. What stuck out with you? What were the highlights for you? Who'd you get to talk to? Give us the whole lowdown.
We talked to everyone. Unfortunately, due to a scheduling conflict, we did leave a little bit early and sort of missed out on some of the corners.
Now I want to address that, Andy, because we've got some flack from some of our readers on the blog or whatever.
Screw the readers.
Last year,
that's Andy Hart.
Last year, we also left on Sunday. And the way they have the combine organized, it's offense the first 2 days, defense the last 2 days. And of those 2 days, corner always came last. So last year we were trying to interview the corners, but we had a slightly later flight in the afternoon, maybe an hour or two difference. And we were able to interview all the players that we needed to, write our stories, get them up on the web, whatever. What we didn't have last year that we had this year was the unexpected Bill Belichick development.
What we didn't have ever that we had this year.
Which we had to cover, and while that was going on, they were bringing corners in and safeties in, and we couldn't just abandon Bill to go and do that, and Bill ended up going for 20 minutes, and in that time they probably...
So you needed both of you to do that?
Well, yeah, it's kind of helpful that we both do that.
Okay.
Just in case, because...
I thought the idea of having two people out there is you could do separate things, but maybe not.
We did all week. We did, and plus we wanted to, since we were under the gun, we wanted to make sure that...
I'm going to defend them. If Bill Belichick is speaking at the Combine, that's worth both of them listening to.
He's never spoken there before.
It's never happened
and
before.
To leave that and for some guy that there's a 1 in 70 chance that they draft.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. The other thinking was that the two of us would be there so that when we were done and we had only like half an hour before we left, we could sort of help. Both of us would transcribe or write things, and that would be more efficient.
And we ended up getting a transcription up on the site, the audio on the site, and a story about it
before we got on the plane.
Before they got on the plane, there's no way that one of them could have done all that.
Right.
So I think that's more important.
Now, that
I'm overruling Fred on that.
That having been said, we both agreed that in the future we will probably leave on Monday instead of Sunday. But in the past, we've been able to get it done in time. Just this year, the flight we were forced to take an earlier flight than we.
Why were you forced?
Well, because when you pick the flights, you have to take one airline, and whichever flights those airlines offer, you have to take. So we couldn't take, for instance, Northwest to go out there and US Air to come back if US Air gave us the later flight. So we had to go with Northwest, and all that was offered on Sunday was that
thing. I would have let you stay another day.
Well, but we thought we'd be able to get it done because
we've gotten
it done in the past.
I know how this plays out, because next year we'll stay till Monday, and by 12:15 on Sunday... They'll say, well, that's all the players we got.
Right.
Because it's happened both ways. Sunday's been a late day. Sunday's been an early day.
Right. Yeah.
This year we got hosed a little bit because it was a late day and we left early.
We actually got there earlier in the day than we did the other weeks because last year on the Sunday, they told us on Saturday, we're going to start bringing players in between 8:30, 9 o'clock, give you guys, because we know most of you are leaving. So we assumed the same thing would happen this year. What we didn't know was that Bill was going to talk and all the players would get started later. So...
That being said,
we'll probably leave on Monday next year. So for those of you who were disappointed, we're sorry, but we'll rectify the problem.
When did all the other local media leave?
They're still there.
Sunday night?
No, they left either Sunday night
or
Monday
morning. Mornings.
So
they're buried.
Yeah.
All right, so of what you did see... The little that you did see. Why don't you tell us what...
What a douchebag.
You really are. You really are.
We post like 40,000 words on the website over the course of 3 days. Blog like... Yeah. First of all, Fred, beyond the website, I just would like to say I'm very proud of what we did on the blog.
You did a great job.
No one else blogged. Everybody else has these blogs, and they put like two things up a day, and they're like long stories.
Barrera sucks, Merry Christmas.
We tried to treat it as, we just heard something quick and interesting, put it on the blog.
See, exactly. You know, and I don't want to get into this whole digital expertise thing, but these people that are doing what you're saying, they're using the blog as a mini website.
Right.
The blog is supposed to be a journal, a running journal,
and
that
like,
people can interact with.
Less formal. You're not writing an 800-word story.
If you're going to post a story, you might as well just post it on your website.
Exactly.
Okay, but that out of the way. We saw a lot of interesting stuff. I thought the biggest news of the week was Scott Pioli saying it was his understanding that Matt Cassel had not signed the tender.
He was right.
Since then, the Patriots have submitted the tender on Monday, apparently, to the league, according to Adam Schefter, and he has now signed it. But... Schefter had reported a long time ago that Cassel had signed it, so take that for what it's worth. The second time he said, this time he really signed it.
Right. Peter King, I think, also said something specifically. That's not true. He did sign it.
Right.
Well, it would certainly seem to be...
You don't file it twice.
It was true that he hadn't signed it and has since signed it.
Well, could it be that he signed it, but it wasn't submitted? I don't know.
I guess that's possible, but then it's not really signed.
That would be possible,
but I don't
think it would be possible for the writers to know that.
It's not official.
Right. I mean, it's not official until it's filed with the league,
signed
under deal.
That's right.
So that was
in any regard, it doesn't looks like it's...
We followed the whole Cassel story all week, asking various people various questions, doing the podium thing, some in the hallway. Most people wouldn't touch it. Jim Schwartz... Wouldn't touch it, but said enough to say that, you know, he is more valuable because of the year, and he's less of a risk than some of the top guys. I talked to Jim Miller, who has kind of waffled a little and now has Cassel as the best quarterback available right now, moves him ahead of the two young guys, and thinks he will be traded. He thinks Bill Belichick will look to move Matt Cassel starting, obviously, the 27th when things open up. But I think that was the biggest Patriots-related story, the Matt Castle situation.
I think it was actually the biggest story of the Combine because a lot of people were talking about it in general.
Because you have all the other cities. We sat next to Randy Kovitz from Kansas City Star. Obviously, they have an interest in that. You got guys from Minnesota, Chicago. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing is a lot of – I mean, teams kind of pulled out during the week. If you believe the Bears – and take this with a grain of salt – Lovie Smith said Kyle Orton is going to lead our team next year.
Now, on the other hand, you
San
get
Francisco,
Detroit.
San Francisco pulled out.
Orlovsky says he wants to be a free agent. He doesn't want to stay in Detroit, mm-hmm. which leaves them with Culpepper. Mm-hmm. Does that increase their interest in
based on what Orlovsky's saying, that Culpepper's the starter. I mean, he said he doesn't want to go back there to back up Dante Culpepper, so he was under the understanding.
Well, that's what he's saying, but I'm talking about what are the Lions saying? I mean, are they happy with Culpepper as a starter, or would they be now more interested in Matt Castle?
Well, how about a tall, skinny bench warmer?
I think either way, Orlovsky saw the writing on the wall, that if he stays, like you said, Andy, Culpepper's the starter, he doesn't want to be the backup, or if he stays and they trade for Castle,
he's the backup.
So I think
I got bad news for him.
Yeah.
He can pick one of 32 teams, and he's the backup. Mm-hmm.
But you know what? He shouldn't be the backup on that team.
Right. Because not to Culpepper.
He played better than Culpepper last year. That's for sure.
Except on that one play where he made up a term.
He pulled an Orlovsky.
That, I think, is one of the reasons why the Pioli statement about Castle was so interesting, was because most of these teams and the representatives who were there were saying, we're not going to comment on Castle because we don't want to talk about a guy who's signed with another team. Well, if what Pioli said was right, Castle officially wasn't signed.
Right.
So they had all these couple of weeks previously that they could have been negotiating or thinking, hey, whatever.
Not
negotiating, but in their minds thinking,
well,
if he hadn't signed, they could start making more serious plans.
Sure.
Whereas if they see that he signed and they believe, you know, the statement Bill put out about looking forward to working with Matt in the feud in 2009.
Well, there's no GM that's falling for that. They all know that the Patriots want to trade him. I mean, they'd be crazy to not, you know, and have to pay him $14.5 million on top of Brady's salary. So
you don't think you think he's going to be traded?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Don't you?
I do, but I didn't think
you
did.
But a lot of other people don't.
I can't see that.
No, I can't either. I agree with you.
I mean, look, the Patriots should say, hey, we're, you know, planning on having Matt Castle because in the spirit of, you know, the franchise tag, it's not for setting up trades. But, you know, I think that they will. And I don't think that you, take on that burden.
But like we said, at this point, it's sounding like fewer teams are putting themselves
out there.
That's
if you buy it. Because I don't personally like Lovie Smith. He used to say 100 times a day, Rex Grossman is my quarterback. He's the quarterback of the Bears. So Kyle Orton's
the
quarterback.
If you're another team, okay, you've got a fan base that are, you know, right now they're thinking about your quarterback situation too. The last thing you want to do as a head coach or GM is start, you know, fueling the flame. Well, you know, Matt Castle's available and half your fan base wants him, half doesn't. And now you're, you know, have all this stuff. You're better off saying, well, you know, and really downplaying that whole thing, you know. So, it's all a bunch of posturing and brinksmanship. But I have no doubt that if somebody came calling with a good offer, Matt Castle would be on the first train to that place.
Well, but that's a little different than you're crazy to have 29-point-whatever-million-dollars on your cap. I mean, do you think they're going to look to trade him, or if somebody comes calling with a good deal, they're going to trade him?
Oh, I think both.
I think the first part. I think they're looking to trade him.
So do
too.
I.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because those are two different things. I mean,
technically they are.
If you believe all these teams that are pulling out, the value goes down a little bit every day.
Yeah, and that's what we started to talk about that. Andy and Eric mentioned a couple of the teams that said, so I think San Francisco and who was the other
Chicago.
One? Chicago. That said that
and
they
Minnesota.
Kind of weren't, but Minnesota also made a step or is in the process of making a step. Will be finalized according to reports on Friday when free agency begins.
Okay.
To trade for Sage Rosenfels. Now,
let me throw this out.
That takes them out, too. You're not going to trade for two journeyman quarterbacks.
Let me throw this out there. You're a GM of another team, okay? You can go out publicly and say we're out of the running, but are you really until you at least ask and see what the Patriots are asking for? I mean, aren't you just doing your job by inquiring, hey, what would you want for Castle? Unless you
privately,
don't think he can
privately.
Play. Unless you don't think Matt can. But if you think he can play, it's your job to find out what the Patriots are asking.
I'm not sure what the situation is in San Francisco, but I think Chicago and Minnesota have said Kyle Orton and Sage Rosenfels, we feel, are better options for us.
Well Minnesota may have said,
I can see
what's
Orton,
it going to take to get Castle?
I can
and they
see
said
Orton,
a first,
maybe?
A third, and a fifth.
They may have
They called
done
Houston
it.
And said, what's it taking to get Sage Rosenfels? And they said, whatever it is.
And clearly,
they have some. That's a good deal.
They have some fascination with Rosenfels, too, because last year they tried to get him.
Sure.
And they were looking to give up a third, and Houston wanted a second or something like that, and it didn't work out. Now, a year later, you know, they're back in the sweepstakes.
So I say any team that needs a quarterback and says that they're out of the running, it's one of two things. Either they've already inquired and the Patriots want too much, or they just don't think Castle can play. It's not because they're not interested in, you know, and the Patriots aren't interested in trading and they're not interested in doing a trade. So that, as a GM, you have to uncover every stone.
Right.
You have to at least find out what the Patriots would be
looking
for.
But don't you
for.
Think that right there is the most interesting aspect of the story? What is Matt Castle worth? Because publicly the opinions are very different. They're all some
Dan
guys
and
are changing.
About that
Jim Miller used to say a second round pick. Now he says he's better than Stafford and Sanchez, which is essentially saying he's worthy, if you believe everybody, of a top 10 pick, because those guys are being considered top 10 picks.
Right.
So where, and there was, who did I say yesterday? Steve Weish, formerly of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, now is on NFL.com, NFL Network, said that to get Castle, he believes it's going to take a high first, which he was talking kind of about Kansas City, so the third pick.
Right.
Other picks in this year's and next year's draft, and possibly a player.
That's crazy.
Well, that's how I look at it, but
look,
maybe Steve Weish has talked to somebody, and that's what the Patriots asked for.
After I've talked to all the teams that think they need a quarterback, and if my best offer is Kansas City's third for Matt Castle straight up, I'm doing it.
I don't know if I'd have to talk to all the teams. I mean, that's a legitimate. I mean, that's a huge deal. The third pick in the draft is a
I'm
great
doing
value.
Straight now, up, a lot of people said, well, the Patriots don't want the third pick because then they'd have to pay him.
Oh,
that's crazy.
That's
nutty.
Well, I think it factors into the conversation.
It does. But I'd rather have to pay, even if I had to pay, you know, and I wouldn't have to, but $14 million in a year for that pick rather than a second quarterback, I'd rather pay it for a guy who might play and get on the field.
Yeah, if there's a guy in the draft that he thinks is worthy of that pick and fits the system.
Right, but he may think this draft is the worst in the last 35 years
I agree with Andy.
Want the third round. Now, I think Bill Belichick could find a player in the top three that would be useful there and valuable.
Right.
But I don't think he just blanketly says.
But now you're paying $14 million for a guy who's not going to play.
Oh, he's not going to do that.
But
oh,
Bill
not,
Belichick
he's not gonna do
thinks
that.
Matt
in
Castle's
my opinion,
good.
He's not going to do that. Yeah. I think he's going to trade.
He has some value.
Even if, Andy, even if he, like you said, even if he thinks this is the worst draft ever, you make the trade to get that number three. There are probably 15 or 20 other teams who would love to have that three, and then all
possibly
of a sudden
you trade the
three for
right.
two
That's
other
a dangerous
picks
game
or whatever.
To start playing.
It is a dangerous game because, you know, I heard somebody call these top picks, 1, 2, and 3, toxic. That's what they've become in the NFL, toxic picks. You know
what I call that guy?
What?
Wow.
Yeah, a guy who's afraid to make the right pick.
Well. I'm telling you.
I think if Aaron Curry, by all accounts, could be the number one overall pick, is running fast 40s, is smart, he's kind of the Calvin Johnson on the other side
NFL
of the ball.
NFL Network was all over him over the
because
weekend.
He's Calvin Johnson. He's like the perfect off the
guy.
Field, on the field, everything.
Yeah.
If he's as good as that, then he's worthy of that pick. He's worthy of the $40 million, and he'll make plays for you for the next 6 years.
I mean, the league is going to make every effort they can to redo this whole, you know, top 10 slotted draft, you know, rookie salary type thing.
Right.
But until they do, there's a lot of, you know, and especially in today's economic, you know, situation, there's a lot of teams that are just really afraid of.
But that's my point. They're afraid.
And they're afraid of, right.
If they knew
they
could pick the right guy.
If they know the guy's
going
to be Larry Fitzgerald, it's worth the money.
Well,
if,
I think Bill
if
goes
they know
into
it's going to be Tom Brady,
Larry
it's worth the money, you know?
I think Bill goes in saying, I'm going to pick Richard Seymour. Not only will I pay him this contract, I'm going to have to pay him again because he's going to be great.
Right. On the phone is Danny from Orlando. Danny, how you doing?
Great, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Danny.
Good, good. I actually wanted to touch up on the Fred Taylor situation. Now, looking back in 2004, how they acquired Corey Dillon, and then, you know, the next year he had, I think it was like 1,200 or 1,400 rushing yards.
1,600.
Yep.
It was it?
Yep.
Franchise record.
Okay, yeah. I was seeing if what you guys think as far as us picking him up and having that similar situation again, because
I'll be honest,
even if Maroney is healthy, I don't think he's a tough runner between the tackles. I think Sammy Morris is way better. I don't know what you guys think about that. I mean, personally, from what I see on the field, I mean, yeah, Maroney did good down the stretch at the end of the 07 season, but he did virtually nothing in the Super Bowl. And I think if Morris hadn't been hurt in the middle of that season, I mean, a lot of people call me crazy, but I seriously think the season would have been a lot different had Morris been healthy all that year.
Well, I think you talk about Maroney,
yeah,
and he's just inconsistent, whether it's injury or whatever. He just hasn't shown. He's shown he can do it all, but he can never do it consistently.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But you bring in a guy like Fred Taylor who has shown that he can do it all, and he's just great.
But I don't think he's going to come in and carry the ball 300
times. Oh, I don't either. But,
he's
who would you rather
change
have,
your
Fred Taylor or Lamont Jordan?
Fred Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, bring him in. It's a no-brainer.
We all love him.
Yeah.
But I think you're looking at 10, 12 carries a game would be ideal, not 24 over the course of a
dozen games.
And Paul
said he'd be willing to give him a million plus a million in bonuses.
Yes.
I'd be willing to give him $2 million straight up.
Lamont Jordan made over $1 million last year
to
do what he did.
If you have a tandem of Taylor and Morris.
Yeah.
Taylor and Morris splitting the carries, I think, is effective enough for you. More than effective. But
I mean,
I think last year, one of the more underrated things, I think, about the offense last year was how good that committee worked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They never had a guy that you went into the game saying he's going to get the bulk of the carries, but it worked. Now, sometimes it was running in non-running situations, but there were plenty of times where it was lining up with Russ Hochstein as your fullback and a couple of extra tight ends in there and pounding it right down teams' throats.
And it worked.
I think they finished, it was sixth, right?
Sixth, yeah.
Sixth in the league in rushing. I mean, I don't care that we didn't have a guy that had 1,500 yards.
If it works, it works.
When it was all said and done, they ran the ball 25 or 30 times every game,
right,
and they were productive.
What was the number, five guys over 250 or five guys over 300 yards rushing?
Something like that.
So in that respect, he's not going to come in if they got him and do what Dylan did, which is 1,600 yards, but, you know, and Fred Taylor's never been the most durable back, but, man, he'd be a perfect by-committee runner for
which is
team.
What he's been doing with Maurice Jones-Drew down
Jones-Drew.
There. And
right.
As Paul has said, the guy averages 5 yards a carry when he rolls out of bed, basically.
4.5 or more, I think, all but two seasons in his 12 or 13-year career.
He's a University of Florida guy, right?
Yep.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, yeah. I'm a Florida guy, too. But, all right, guys. Oh, actually, before I go, I mean, it's been a while since I listened to the show, but whatever happened to Gary and Mike?
Unfortunately, due to the economic times, both guys were let go. Big losses for us.
Oh, that really sucks.
It does.
I hope them best, and I'll go ahead and continue to listen to you guys. Great job. I'll probably talk to you next week, all right?
All right.
Thanks,
Danny from Orlando.
All right, bye.
Danny, boy.
All right.
Yeah, it's Danny from Quincy. We have Danny from Orlando.
Well, we're bigger.
We have a bigger reach than EEI.
I wanted to get back to the combine. First of all, we were talking about how the story, the Castle story, not quite as easy to cover this year, and I think a lot of real reporters, quote unquote, found that moving into Lucas Oil Stadium changed the whole dynamic of the combine.
I was going to ask about that.
There used to be, from the Westin Hotel, there was a skywalk over into the convention center, and then you go through the convention center hallway into the dome. Mm-hmm. Everybody took basically the same route.
They walk over all the little cheerleaders that are all over the place.
And everybody else who was at a convention at that place.
Yes.
Right.
But agents, assistant coaches, scouts walked through there. So you were grabbing people. You recognized, hey, how are you? Maybe getting quotes on and off the record. That's no longer the case. That we were in the media workroom was the East Club of Lucas Oil Stadium.
Which is, you know, like the Fidelity Club.
Right.
Here.
Right. Street level, you walk in, but no one had to come by to get to where they needed to go. All the coaches, they were going in the other end of the stadium past what would have been the West Club, which was empty. So the only people that made their way through that area were people coming to press conferences, people that wanted to be seen, whatever. Mm-hmm. But you lost out on probably 90% of the quotes, information coming through.
The foot traffic.
The rubbing elbows time.
The happenstance
was significantly
kind of
reduced.
Right. There were no, like, for instance, in the past, people would hang out for autographs because it was a public place, essentially. It was in a lobby of a convention center.
Right.
Now you didn't have any of that. We had to show IDs to get in. Eric couldn't bring his food in, so he fought a security guard.
Did you have some Tropicana? Did you have a bottle?
I had a Paul Perillo moment with a security guard.
I knew it was going to come back to me.
Now, what happened?
Like I had done every day that week, I brought a bag of you know, food and snacks for the day. They had food there, but
were you wearing a fanny pack?
No, 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 a CVS, like okay. One of these
I
bags.
I just want to make sure you weren't like wearing a CVS.
Somebody
bag.
Was packing his fanny.
Oh, see now.
Eric's really taking it well this week.
Oh, I shouldn't say that. Yeah. We spent a week together on the road. Son of a.
But anyway.
How would you know?
Were you giving it well?
So we get to the place where we have to just check in, and it's the same people who've been there all week seeing us walk through right. with our stuff. And I, you know, pull out my badge and show it as we were walking in. And this other guy stops me and says, sorry, sir, no food allowed in here. I said, oh, really? I've been doing it all week. And he says,
tone
no.
Tone was a little different. I've been doing it all week.
See, that's not a Paul Perillo moment.
This no, is, hold on.
He's arguing with the guy breaking hold the rules. On.
So I say to the guy, you know, I've been doing it all week. And he said, yeah, we just changed the policy today.
The guy did say that, which was a dumb thing to say.
So I was like, all right. So I had to throw this stuff out or they wouldn't let me in, which was, you know, ridiculous. And as we're walking
what,
away.
What did you have in the bag?
I had.
Bacana.
No, I had Triscuits.
Triscuits.
Peanut
Triscuits,
butter. Yes.
Peanut butter.
An apple and an orange.
An apple
I mean, excuse
an
me, an apple Triscuits. And a banana.
And a banana.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they wouldn't let
that's
me take that
like
in.
That.
Yeah.
You know what? A Triscuit is called a biscuit. That's a treat. That's where the name comes from, according to the pompous one. To which I respond: if Triscuits are a treat, does that mean cardboard's a treat? They're terrible.
That's
I mean,
true. They are terrible.
They're good with cheese,
but with peanut butter, they're fine. Or cheese, yeah.
Cardboard would be great if
anytime,
I pile on peanut
no,
butter.
Cardboard would not be good if you put peanut
anytime
butter on it.
Anytime a food needs to have something go with it to kill the taste
you don't like
of it,
a good
it's
box?
Not a good food.
Okay.
No.
Well, it gives the cheese texture. It's good. I like
Triscuits. I got to kill the taste of the Triscuit with peanut butter.
And they're good for you.
Sawdust almost.
All right. Anyway.
They're good for you.
Anyway.
Yeah,
so there was a little.
This guy has just had greasy wings and fries.
He put away a lot of
Triscuits. I attributed it to the fact that the guy who stopped me was not one of the guys who was normally there. There were the other guys who were there too, but they noticed that I had the New England Patriots on my ID.
Bill Polian.
And it was a Polian thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's
right. Your shtick.
Yep. Yeah. So that's what I was going with. So that's why I had to give him a little attitude because I knew it was coming from up above.
You still had to throw your food away, though.
Yeah, or they wouldn't have let me in.
Yeah. Or what? I just wanted to the phone.
I wanted to add one quick reactionary. Last year, I fell in love with Vernon Golston.
Yeah.
This year, it's Arakpo from Texas.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I like
real deal.
I like the look.
Real
and this,
deal.
So actually, I think he's a better prospect maybe because did more in college, played in a 3-4. Comes from Muschamp system,
yep.
Who Bill
about
raved
that.
About. Yep. So I think he's a legitimate prospect. Sounds like he probably won't be available when the Patriots pick, or at least where they pick now.
Right, where they pick now.
But I think he would be a legitimate outside linebacker, more of the James Harrison mold.
Oh yeah,
shorter, stockier.
Oh, big time.
Paul would like to say, "Dude knows they test in the league." Just right. Big dude, and seemed very intelligent, very confident right. in. Not only have I done the 3-4 stuff,
right.
Yeah, I can do it at the pro level. I mean, he's
and
a big fan.
And on the other end of that spectrum, Andre Smith from Alabama.
Turd.
Worst impression I've ever gotten from a player.
Really?
Oh, my God. Awful.
Personally? And then did you interact with him personally? Or?
Well, at the press conference.
Yeah.
But he was atrocious. I mean, didn't know whether or not he was going to take part in drills, and somebody asked him about an agent, and whether the agent – he didn't really – wasn't sure about the agent.
I was just reading a few – it seems like there were a few guys there like that were there but weren't participating, hanging around like –
But
they
he said
the
he didn't know.
He didn't
like,
even
he
know,
was,
he said.
I think he came off as a total turd,
oh.
But to me he's going to be one of those guys that you find out later he's got like depression issues or
right.
like anxiety disorder and – training camp starts and he doesn't show up
because right.
he's locked in
right.
his house. Or,
he could be bipolar.
Yeah, I think he's got issues.
It's just speculation on our part. But, I mean, he had the thing Saturday where
– had a guy that did that.
The coaches didn't know where he was, and then he left. And we said – at first our reaction was, well, the guy said he wasn't going to work out,
right.
so he doesn't need to stay. But then it became bigger than that. It was like they were expecting him to be there just for interviews
still
or whatever.
You need to tell people.
You need to tell people you're leaving, and he just seemed way too flighty.
He cost himself probably tens of millions of dollars
oh, yeah.
with his performance at the Combine.
John in L.A. is on the phone. John, how you doing?
Good. It's good to hear you back. But I have to say, Paul did an unbelievably great job on Thursday.
That's what I hear.
All right, let's move on.
Great show.
Did anybody know?
I'm getting to the blogging. The blogging at the Combine was amazing.
Well, I actually have to thank you, John, because I know you posted some stories and some links and stuff on Pat's fans and
We're doing your best to promote the PFW blog, so we do appreciate it.
And we got some good traffic as a result of people going from Pats fans to
our
well blog, done, John. So thank you.
No problem. It was great. As I said in one of the comments sections on the blog, I was wondering whose idea was it to have you guys. I mean, I know there's budgets to keep in mind.
If you go back,
you guys have to fly back right before all the positions we care
John,
about.
John, if you go back and listen to the podcast, we addressed this at length earlier.
Yeah,
in the show.
It was.
We did. Okay.
Yeah. Somewhat circumstantial. We apologize.
Right. Yeah. No. There's nothing to apologize for. You guys, it was great. I mean, I just sat here.
Suffice to say, next year we'll most likely be coming back on Monday, but. For a full explanation, listen to the podcast.
Okay, thank you for cutting me off before I start talking about it over and over for a while. You guys have already done it. Really? No, I hate when I do that.
We do, too.
I'm sure you do. Have you guys talked about Sage Rosenfeld yet?
We touched on him. What specifically would you like to address?
I'd like to address the fact that he threw 6 TDs and 10 picks last year. And I'm saying, I'm not saying it has to be a bold or wildly ambitious move by Minnesota, but that's a half-assed move. That's like a move of a team that wants to nickel and dime its way to like losing in an NFC divisional championship game.
I agree. It feels like that. But as Paul said, they went after him last year. I think they like Sage Rosenfels.
Oh, good for them.
Now, it may not work. It may stink. I agree with you. I don't think he's a guy that I would say, this is my quarterback that's going to lead me to the promised land. But if they like him, I mean, let's let it play out and see if maybe they know Brad Childress knows something we don't know.
He's not my answer. He doesn't make me very excited, but I have to be honest, if I'm a Minnesota guy, I'm not all that much more excited about Matt Cassel, to be honest.
No. I am.
You're down on Cassel.
I'm not. I'm saying if I'm looking to make a quarterback, I'm trying to make the next, you know, the leap into the legitimate title contenders. I don't think Matt Cassel is a guy that's going to get me real excited about that.
Why is that?
Because I just think he's an average quarterback.
Okay, so Rosenfels,
John, he gets me more excited than Rosenfels, but I don't really think there's that big of a difference.
Well, if that's the case, then Patriots fans and everyone are overestimating his value on the market.
Well, no doubt about that.
Okay.
At least his name's not Sage.
That's a good point. That's part of the package. At quarterback, that's part of it. Can't be that good with a name like Sage. I agree with John.
And he said you have to look the part, and I guess you have to have the name as well.
When you're a franchise quarterback, it's a total package.
That's why Mark Griffin was a one-year wonder. Too ugly. Pock.
So who does it come down to then? It's Detroit, Kansas City, and not many people left.
A lot of people put Tampa Bay in there, John.
Yeah. Right, Tampa Bay. No, you're right, Tampa Bay. Yep.
Raheem Morris seemed to,
even though he's not supposed to talk about it.
I think they would be involved. I'm still not sold that this whole Kyle Orton is our leader from Lovie Smith would, you know, prohibit them from being involved.
Why not the Jets?
They're another team that he said he was going to go with his young guys.
Greenberg said something today that was kind of interesting, and he's a huge Jets fan. He says he doesn't have this from anybody inside the Jets organization, but the people that he talks to talk about Kerry Collins as the guy they really want. Hmm. That would make them. I think that would make them a very legitimate contender.
Well, then that opens up.
This is the thing that cracks me up. About. Every single player in the league is laughable.
No, Kerry Collins
can't play.
Kerry Collins is fine.
13 wins, threw for 300 yards against the best defense in football in the playoffs. But
if what you're you're the Jets and what you're looking for is a 1 year rush to get to the Super Bowl, Kerry Collins is fine.
If you want a long-term solution, but the Jets need someone now. They can't have a long-term solution.
But
that team is
Matt
a veteran
Cassel
team.
Be a now? You don't need to develop it.
I'm just not sure. Plus, let's face it, it's going to be hard for the Jets to be the team that gets Matt Cassel because, in my opinion, they're going to have to overpay for it.
They might have to pay a little bit more than Detroit.
I think Bill hates the Jets so much that he's going to make them overpay for them.
Right.
You know, I don't think he'd be unwilling to trade him to the Jets.
Right.
My voice keeps going out because I'm not feeling well. But,
well, you had that big, show Thursday.
I had to rest my voice after that show.
Yeah. Right, you had the big show.
I agree that I had to cancel the big show that day.
I was very impressed with that.
I don't think that Bill would be unwilling to trade him to the Jets, but I do think he would make the Jets overpay for him.
Sure.
He would have to get far and away the most from the Jets to make that trade. I think he hates the Jets so much.
As we all do.
Yeah, and I don't think it has anything to do with facing him twice because I think if it was Miami or Buffalo, and I think it would be a very normal trade.
It might be a little less now that you're dealing with Rex Ryan. you know, other, rather than Mancini, but Tannenbaum
I think he
still
hates the Jets.
Tannenbaum
I think he
still
hates the Jets.
Maybe that's you say to Woody, you know, Woody Johnson, the owner. You say, look, we'll give you Castle, you give us the draft picks, but you got to fire Tannenbaum. Maybe that's part of the deal.
That would be great.
Oh my God.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
The Jets came in third this year in a year where they got Brett Favre and we lost Tom Brady 8 minutes into the season. We get Tom Brady back as our quarterback. They get Kerry Collins and we're worried about them. I don't think.
When did I say you should be worried about them? If Tom
Brady's
the quarterback,
you said that makes him a formidable. I'm not saying
if Tom Brady is the quarterback, no one in the AFC East can touch the Patriots.
Okay,
no one.
That's all I'm looking
no
for.
No one.
That's it.
They won the division. The last time Tom Brady quarterbacked this team, they won the division by 9 games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, until something gets proven otherwise, no one can touch the Patriots with Tom Brady as the quarterback, in my opinion, anyway, for whatever that's worth.
Nothing.
That's true.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for everything, guys. You're doing a great job.
All right.
Thank you,
John. From L.A. John from L.A.
But, I mean, with absolutely horrible quarterback play, the Jets were 9-7. So if Kerry Collins can do what he did last year, they can't go 11-5?
Right.
Yeah.
No, they could.
That makes them a contender.
Absolutely. But at what point do the New York Jets start getting their quarterback for the long term?
Well, I would think that you need a guy now that has some experience. Like Castle would be a major upgrade over anything that they have on the roster because no one on the roster has really played. What's Clemens play, like 3 or 4 games?
Something like that.
So they need a guy who can step in and they know about now. So if it was Castle, I think that makes a lot of sense. Collins, I think, makes more sense because he's a veteran and he's been through the wars and whatnot. But that's not a team that's not a developing team, the Jets, in my opinion. That team is a veteran-laden team that's built to win now. But they need a quarterback.
But I think you bring in Castle, you got a guy now and somebody for the future.
Yeah, but I don't know if
you kill both birds.
Wouldn't you rather have a guy that you feel better about now?
I don't know.
I would, but Collins isn't that guy.
I think Castle can do what Collins can do right now.
I agree, Fred. I agree with that. I'm not a big Kerry Collins guy. I never have been.
So I mentioned the toxic picks. Strippers gives a list of the top three picks over the last, 10 years or so. And he, in his judgment, 50% of them have been busts. So,
okay. But I think 50% of the general managers in the league stink.
Right.
If I let Bill pick all 30 of those guys, if you allowed me to have Bill select 1, 2, and 3 every year, my guess is he goes closer to 80%. Yep. That high in the draft?
Yeah. I mean, for example, higher. You know, 2 years ago, you had Jamarcus Russell, Calvin Johnson, and Joe Thomas. If you get Calvin Johnson, you're good.
Two out of three.
But last year, it was Jake Long, Chris Long, and Matt Ryan. Now, Jake Long looks like he's pretty good.
Looks like three for three.
So, they made the right picks that year.
But I'm saying Bill would not have taken Jamarcus Russell.
Right.
That's my guess.
That's
now
the point.
A guy I know he would have taken is Robert Gallery. He would have missed on that. But I think, again, it would be like 1 out of 5 or 6 he'd miss.
Yeah, he really liked Gallery.
Loved him.
Either he would have missed out on him or he would have done something different with him. And maybe he would have turned out.
But even that year, it was Eli Manning, Robert Gallery, and Larry Fitzgerald.
2 for 3.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
That's my point. And I think that not only do you get good players there, I think I give Bill the benefit of the doubt. He'll get the right guy.
If you expanded it to top 10, I think you get a lot more busts. Right.
That's why I say if
the players aren't as good as you move down.
If the only offer on the table is Kansas City's 3 for Matt Castle, I think you jump at it. I think you jump at that.
I do too.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe
with
do a backflip on the way.
You think Kansas City would be interested in that?
Yeah, why not?
Did you read my Jim Miller stuff?
No.
He thinks Kansas City is a logical choice, but not just the easy thing that everybody says. Pioli's there, they'll trade, they know him. Chan Gailey, Todd Haley, he says, are predominantly spread offensive shotgun type guys. Castle had 80% of his snaps out of the shotgun, had his greatest success late in the year out of the shotgun. Offensively, it makes sense what they want to do and what Castle does best.
I agree.
Jim Miller doesn't think Castle's all that good under center, is the vibe I took from it when he was talking. So I thought that was taking it to the next level, not just saying, oh, Pioli's there.
Oh,
that makes
sense. Clearly a lot more analysis than, you know, they
which is good because he changed his thoughts totally on Castle since he was worth like a, 67 Buick.
Right.
All right. Well, we got a lot of emails. We're going to get to that. We'll also talk about other guys out there, free agents or not, people have going to become free agents like Marvin Harrison and Lawyer Malloy. We'll be right back.
Want to be rewarded just for shopping? At Patriot Place in Foxborough, you can be. Use your already existing Visa cards when you visit New England's most unique destination and earn points while enjoying everything Patriot Place has to offer. The points you earn from shopping, dining, and the entertainment at Patriot Place can be redeemed for amazing rewards, like free admission to the hall at Patriot Place presented by Raytheon, tickets to Gillette Stadium events, autographed Patriots merchandise, and more. The Patriot Place Rewards Program is the first of its kind. Simply enroll your existing Visa cards. There's no approval and no new card. Enrolling is easy and it's free. Register one or all of your existing Visa cards and you'll get all the benefits associated with your existing card, plus Patriot Place rewards at no extra cost. And every time you shop, you'll be entered to win a $1,000 shopping spree. Visit patriot-place.com to enroll your existing Visa cards today. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So, stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
Coming this summer to Patriots.com. It's the ultimate showdown between pro bowler and pro sketcher. All pro and all show. A guy who's played in the Super Bowl and one who's worked at the Super Bowl. It's Gostkowski versus Scalavino.
I have to make 6 out of 10 field goals from 35 yards.
I think you can do that.
Oh, I know I can do it. I'm going to do it.
Wow!
Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime event as the current Patriots kicker faces off against the former college football kicker, whose last kick was 15 years ago for a university that no longer has a football program.
But if I start making 6, 7, if I'm in that range, I might switch left-footed just to show him.
You've seen Ali Frazier, Duke, North Carolina, Red Sox, Yankees, but nothing will compare to this. It's Gostkowski Scalavino, coming this summer to Patriots.com.
All right, we're back. Paul's gone.
Thank God.
Paul had a scheduled physical with his doctor today. This is his 40-year-old physical. So right now, you may submit one or two sentences what you think the doctor's diagnosis will be. So we're accepting your submission. Mine is, Paul, from what we've seen, you've been dead for 2 years. But if you'd like to submit what you think Paul's doctor's diagnosis will be after his physical, 1 to 2 sentences. Nothing elaborate.
And Paul's getting that test that all men, once they reach 40, have right. to get from, yeah. the, from the doctor.
And whoever has the best submission will give you his urine sample. Signed. So...
The sample or the
well, the jar will be signed. Yeah,
that's gross, right?
The sample will actually be in it.
Yeah, sure. Hey. All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is
the
phone
number.
Did
you read our blog?
I did.
Okay.
Some of it, not all of it. I mean, I was on vacation.
Did you see what we did on the web?
Happy with it?
You're on a staycation.
You guys did a great job. You did a great job. Really good.
We had fun with it.
Oh. You see what he just did with the little hiccup thing? At one point at the combine, we thought that you were actually there announcing players coming in because this guy, the way they do it is every time a player is coming into the room, they announce ahead of time so that you can get over to that podium and talk to the guy.
Right.
And he starts saying it was so-and-so. And
yeah, he did.
He did
it was
Fred Kirsch hiccup
And I'm like,
thing.
Oh, my God, Fred's announcing players.
In one of those. The worst thing is the lunchtime meeting where everyone eats.
Yeah,
and while they're having the meeting, and then the first guy is like, "Well, I like the," and he basically throws up, you know, and you're breathing that air,
yeah. Which is you what know? You do every time we have a show.
Matt from Connecticut's on the phone. Matt, how you doing?
How's it going, guys?
We're doing great,
what's up,
Matt.
you guys had told me last week that there would be two shows without Fred, I would have had low expectations. But the quality of last week's shows, I have to say, you guys should pat yourself on the back, was great.
It's all Paul.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think it's a direct reflection on the producer.
Yes, you're right. It is a direct reflection of how poorly you were because we had to do it all ourselves. We took care of the Tuesday show. Paul took care of the Thursday show. You're useless.
Were you here, Tucci? Yeah? That's good. You probably did a good job.
Yeah, but he's wasting away, so he's...
So, all right. So what else, Matt?
I wanted to know what you guys thought of... I know you guys had low expectations for the running back from UConn, Donald Brown.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I know you didn't think much of him going in, but he was super productive at UConn. I was just wondering what you guys thought of him.
I actually didn't speak with him. I missed him somehow. Sorry about that.
Yeah, Andy comes back over to the table like an hour later and is like, boy, I wonder if we can bring that Brown kid out. And I'm like, he was already out here.
Well, they got overwhelmed at times.
It's hard.
They were putting Donald Brown is a potential first-round pick.
Right.
Mike Mayock said that some teams consider him the best back in the draft.
Yeah, they had him at a table.
And he was at a table. I'm sorry, you have three podiums. Donald Brown should be at a podium. The guy rushes for 2,000 yards when he rolls out of bed. And as much as I am sort of underwhelmed by him, he's a top prospect. And he wasn't given the type of... And it happened a few times where guys that are potentially top 20 picks were just sitting at a table unannounced, kind of just hanging out in a corner.
And it's not like there weren't podiums available. The way they had the room set up, there were three podiums.
Can a guy say, I don't want to go to a podium?
I think they just do what they're told
in
those situations.
I think they do what they're told. Mm. But generally, like a top pick, first of all, Gil Brandt usually grabs them and brings him up and makes some sort of joke about this is my long-lost son or something. It's uncomfortable and awkward. Yeah. But Donald Brown kind of flew under the radar, got in, got out, was at a table. So I don't have a change of thought there. It did surprise me when Mayock said that he's talked to people on other teams that said they have Donald Brown as their top back in the draft. Really?
Yes.
Higher than Beanie Wells?
Higher than Beanie Wells, and Marino, anybody you want to put in there.
Huh.
Kid from Pittsburgh.
He seems like he's like probably the second biggest wild card behind like Sanchez on where he could go. He could be like, you know, anywhere from like a mid first round pick to like being a second round pick, late second round pick.
Which is unfair to Brown, I think, because as you said, he's been productive. Very productive.
He's been super productive.
So at least Sanchez, you say, well, he only started whatever it was, 16 games at USC. Maybe you have some questions. He's not ideal height. Donald Brown, all he's done is when he touches the ball, he gains yards. So, I mean, from a Bill Belichick perspective of scouting, I think you have to like Donald Brown. He worries me that he's a very, very good college back, and maybe that doesn't always translate to
the pros. Plus, you're a little biased because he took guys away from your guy.
My boy's his backup, so.
I think, though, if we can get him in the second round, that would be a great pick for us.
If he's available in the second round, I'm all for it, especially with two second-round picks.
Yeah.
I think he's probably like the anti-Lawrence Maroney. I think you won't be saying, wow, the potential, he just never puts it together. You'll be saying, he does a nice job.
Yeah, he hits the whole authority, you know, just runs.
He also ran a 4.51, I think.
A bit lower than what you expected for him.
A bit lower, but all of them were lower.
Fast track?
I think slow track.
Slow track?
I think Pierman from Virginia had the highest, and then there were a lot of guys that were in, like, the high 4.4s. I think he was one of the top five, maybe. You know, there weren't a lot of blazing running. You know, there was no Chris Johnson from last year that ran a blazing time or any of those guys. It's, you know, there's an interesting running back class because some people think there's some great running backs, or they might all just kind of be average.
Hmm. Interesting.
Do you think the Patriots will pick a running back?
Sometime during the draft, yes.
Yeah, probably.
Probably in the first three rounds when they get all their picks settled in those rounds. But my question is it Donald Brown, or is it maybe not Percy Harvin, but a Percy Harvin type scat back, playmaker. One kid that wasn't at the combine, actually, the kid out of Wyoming that I wanted to see, held his own little workout in Indy because he's actually from Indy, I believe, and did something with some of the teams. I don't know. If they sign Fred Taylor, then it'll probably be some scat back.
Well, I was going to say, should they start thinking about, you know, replacing Kevin Falk at some point?
Well, that's the thought,
yeah.
Not only that, but also just as a slot receiver, gadget. Get more creative with
offenses are evolving into that where you need at least one guy who can do that sort of, you know, put the quarterback out as a wide receiver, have the other guy under center, even if it's just as a package, not for a whole offense. But and they need a guy like that. I don't think they really have a guy like that right now.
But if they don't sign Fred Taylor, then they could be drafting the replacement for Lawrence Maroney, the back of the future,
the
franchise
guy.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Would that disappoint you if they Matt. Would that disappoint you if, you know, they draft a running back higher than a key defensive player, defensive backfield linebacker?
Probably, because
because
those guys are a lot riskier. Running backs, it's much harder to hit on a running back that high than it is on a defensive player, I think.
Well, I also think they need to get a lot better on defense, and the way you get a lot better generally in the draft is to draft higher guys. First and second round, give me a linebacker.
And there are plenty of outside linebacker / defensive end hybrid types in this draft. It's very top heavy at that position, so I would expect them to get at least one of those guys and
a corner
in the top 2-3 rounds.
Keith from Georgia writes in. He said the episode last week, which was cleverly and singularly hosted by one Paul Perillo, was superb. Although a bit NPR-ish, the content was excellent and a joy to hear. Boy, that's one station Paul's never listened to, right?
No, God, no.
He's been on it, though. He does occasional hits on there.
I certainly hope you are blowing up anyone who feels Paul did a bad job. As a loyal listener,
we haven't had any.
Since the Paul and Brian days in 1998, I have to say this was one of his best performances. That said, please keep these shows to a minimum because we sure miss the sophomoric hijinks we have all become accustomed to that attracts us here twice a week, if not more. If other fans are like me, the pain of shows without you, Frank, my name's Fred, have nothing to do with a lack of football, or Jake, or too much football. To me, they lack passion. That's what I want to hear in my football talk. Next time you have a solo show on the horizon, please give 2G something to do and have him put together a best of show. You recently walked through two lists of the year's best moments. I'm sure you have 2 hours that many of us would have loved to have compiled in one spot. Oh, and thanks for the combine coverage, Eric. Any kickers stand out? Andy, any real players catch your eye? Now that you have had time to sift through it all, who is your boy this year?
Joking aside, there was one kicker who did stand out. Remember the USC kid, Bueller, I think his name was?
Anyone?
Did 25, Fred, reps at 225 in the bench press.
And the bench
kicker.
Well, that's really going to help
20,
him kick.
But
who cares?
That's what stood out. The kid, kickers aren't supposed to bench press 225 25 times.
I know.
There's no rule saying a kicker can't get his ass in the weight room just because you did.
Right.
No. Oh, I was in there.
Just didn't work.
Didn't work that much. But
Eric, clean off this bench.
No, wipe me down.
That was an ass. I can't believe I spent 5 days on the road with this clown.
Wow.
But yeah, Arakpo stood out on the defensive side, I think, to both of us. On the offensive side, I was most impressed with this wide receiver, Jarrett Dillard, who I know some of the fans probably know the name because he led the NCAA touchdown record with his quarterback there. But as far as the kid being a good person, good personality, humble, team first kind of guy, willing to work his way up, starting as a slot guy, and then maybe eventually if he gets into the right offense, becoming a number two guy on the edge. I think this guy would be the perfect fit as that number three spot that's sort of up in the air right now on the offense at wide receiver. I think he'd be ideal. I think he's a good character guy. He stood out to me on offense as a guy who you could probably get in the second or third round, sort of fly under the radar a little bit and be a great pickup.
What's his numbers? How tall is he?
I don't have them in front of me right now, but I believe he was like 5'10", 5'11".
Yeah.
Roughly 200, something like that. So not a tiny guy, not a huge tall guy either.
Right.
But
how about a short little player?
Right.
I fell in love with some linebackers. Later round guy. I'm looking for Mayo's sidekick,
right?
Which I think by nature you're not looking too high for that because that's why you drafted Mayo.
Mayo!
So maybe fourth, fifth. You're trying to get a steal later in the draft.
Let me ask you a question. Consider Mayo? I think Mayo,
we all like
to consider him an every down linebacker.
Yeah.
Would you like to get as his counterpart the Ted Johnson run stuffer type?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So you're looking for that stout.
Right, the 1-2 punch.
And along those lines, the two guys I kind of liked. One is Jasper Brinkley from South Carolina. I think was considered higher a couple years ago. Blew out his knee. Didn't play as well last year. Ran okay at the combine. Ran like a 4.7, which for a run-stuffing linebacker is okay.
I'll take it.
I mean, he's 262, 265 pounds. Big dude in there. I was intrigued a little bit by him. And then the kid out of Pittsburgh who supposedly needed to run a fast time and didn't. McKillop is his name. He's a white linebacker, something he told me when I asked, why do you think people think you're unathletic? And he said, well, as a white linebacker, people assume I'm unathletic. But he didn't run like he wanted to, but is considered a 3-4 type linebacker, maybe inside and out. Both those guys I was intrigued as maybe mid to later round picks. Because I think if you're going to draft a linebacker this year, it's Arakpo. It's an outside guy, you know, Mayo inside, Arakpo, Mabin, one of those guys outside to develop for the future, unless you believe Sean Crable is that guy, which I don't.
No. Let's see.
And I'm sure others will come up, by the way, because you know my memory and the amount of times I came over to Eric and said something and that I liked or didn't like. You know, those will sort of pop into my mind as we go along here. I don't have the benefit of my notes in front of me like Mike Mayock did during his press conference when somebody asked about a player, and he goes, you know what, I'll just read you my list. And he went to his notes and just read the guy his list from the internet. Oh, thanks, Mike. If I wanted to read your internet list, I'd go to the internet. It's a live press conference. Give me some flavor.
Plus, it's going to be good when we start actually getting to break down the tape, because now we have the face with the name. Now we get to see how they are on the field. We can put the two together. We'll be able to better give our impressions of these guys.
Hopefully tapes are coming in a couple weeks.
Yes, hopefully. One of the interesting things going over the corners this morning, I was looking at some of the transcripts and different things. One of them, and I'm drawing a blank on the two here, one of the Smiths, Alfonso, I believe, is compared to Asante Samuel. See the one out of, look that up, Wake Forest.
I'm doing. Alfonso Smith Wake Forest compares in here to Dre Bly.
But he had, I believe, 60-something career pass defenses, 21 interceptions, always around the ball, and has been compared to Asante Samuel. Another one, I believe it might be.
Sean Smith from Utah is the other Smith.
Not the other one, then. One of the others compares himself to Asante Samuel, which I thought was funny. Two of the top five corners in a year the Patriots might go for corner compared to a guy they're trying to replace, so be an interesting little dynamic there if they got one of those guys.
DJ Moore?
Could be. I say, you know my memory. Post-colonoscopy.
He's another underclassman. A lot of underclassmen in the corner, corner market.
It was like running back and corner. Like running back, the best senior running back is the sixth best running back in the draft, the kid at your boy, Ringer.
Oh, Javon Ringer, yeah. I like him. Little bowling ball type.
Yeah, he was the top running back until all those juniors came out.
Kids. Yeah. Ringer's going to be good, though.
He's a ringer.
Let's see.
Good job, 2G. That was very timely.
PJD from North Carolina says, hey, guys, and Eric, hope that we have a show loaded with evaluations of good fits for the Patriots. I look forward to more of Andy Hart's first impressions. What happened to Eric? Eric has impressions,
the kickers.
Too.
They weren't that many.
They got more than that.
By the way, Ray Mauluga I like, too. I
Mark Tape, McFadden stinks.
Hey, see, McFadden stinks. One good game last year. You check that tape. I thought Mauluga was good. This was just my impression. I don't think he's overly intelligent. I mean, I don't want to be mean, but he came off as a guy trying very hard to say the right things. I don't think overly smart, but he's a good player. And I know the hamstring and people wonder what he is. He's a good football player. And I think that would be a little much maybe to invest back-to-back years, Mayo and Mauluga, maybe a little too much.
I think his stock might slightly be going down.
Going to have to draft him in the first round.
Yeah.
But, I mean, would you do that? Would you have Mayo and Mauluga? I mean, would you feel confident? Or are you going outside?
I'm not sure you're getting that complimentary linebackers that you're looking for. I think Mauluga is a sideline-to-sideline player.
No, he's not as much. He's not as athletic as Mayo. He's not as
Well, he may not be as – but I don't think he's a run-stuffer.
He takes on guards pretty well. He's pretty stout guy.
I've been reading some stuff that –
Our lads.
Yeah.
What else did he read? What else did he read, Andy?
Nothing. I walked by his office and I saw they're always like weird colors, and they're folded on your desk.
Well, every month is a different color, so you can tell.
Sticking with USC linebackers, I was at Brian Cushing's press conference, and I got a very weird vibe from him. He came across like his responses came across, you know, very polished, prepared, polite to everybody, all of that, but there was a weird underlying current to him that I didn't like, and I couldn't really put my finger on it. But at the end, the last question he took was about that there were questions about substances, shall we say, that have been tied to him, and the way he answered it was very sketchy. He said he sort of dodged it a little bit and said, you know, the people that know me know that that's not true, but you know that
He said something like they worry. The people that know me worry about what's really important, and that's, you know, how I play on the field, which is dismissing the fact that if he's using illegal substances, that's pretty important.
Right.
First of all. And then he said something else that just came across as kind of strange to me was he said, you know, I've been telling teams that I don't do that and I won't do that, and they believed me, which was kind of a weird way to put it, because it sounds like you're saying I told them something that's not true and they bought it. You know, I would have been a little bit more comfortable if it said, I don't do that, I'll never do that, and that's the truth.
You were lying your ass off.
Yeah, the way he put it, it made me sound like he was sort of trying to get away with something. And he might be a great player, you know, and we'll find out more when we watch his tape, but I get a very suspect vibe from him, you got to say.
And if we're going to stick with the USC guys, Matthews.
Clay Matthews.
I still don't like.
No.
Pretty boy look and just.
Yeah.
And everybody's going with he's going to be a better pro. He was the elephant this year. He was that Willie McGinnis, right. Stand up, put your hand down on third down, kind of Pete Carroll elephant. And I think he's a special teamer, probably a decent backup. But you're talking first-round pick for him now. I just have no interest. If I'm going first round at USC, his name is Ray Maualuga.
That entire defense is going to get drafted, though.
Well, yeah.
And that's everybody on that team is always questions. In the draft. It's unbelievable.
Who's good and who's just riding the other guy?
Right, right.
Eric.
Oh, see now.
Let's see. PJD also says, to me, it does not seem likely that Connor Barwin will last until pick 47, but is the 23rd pick too high? Obviously, it will depend on who else in the board when the Pats are on the clock. I feel good that we can get some very good linebackers or DBs in the draft. He has some guys that he mentions, Michael Johnson, Tyson Jackson, Brandon Williams, Larry English, Connor Barwin from Cincinnati as possible guys, DJ Moore. So basically goes down the list.
Yeah. Barwin's the Vrabel kid, and he ran the second fastest D-line 40, which is a little deceiving because they kind of break him up.
Yeah, I talked to Barwin. I liked him a lot. He definitely has all the similarities to Vrabel. You know, he started out as a tight end, converted to defensive end, can play outside linebacker in a 3-4, runs tight end packages on the goal line, catches touchdowns. He actually even looks like Vrabel physically, facially and everything, the whole thing.
Not sure if Vrabel ever ran a 4.6.
I don't know if he ran that, but
I bet you Vrabel's kind of slow and timed 40.
He's the kind of guy that Patriots fans would fall in love with instantly if he were drafted. I think he's definitely a guy worth looking for, and if the Patriots like him enough, I don't see why 23 would be, out of the question.
Oh, that's too high for him.
Rice's James Casey, tight end, but everything else as well. Mature guy, one of the more intriguing guys at the combine, because people are always looking for features. His mother died in a trailer fire when he was a sophomore in high school, and he talked about how he could have sulked and didn't, and kind of used that to motivate him. Played minor league baseball, so he's a little old. He's 24, only had two seasons at Rice, but did everything there. As all tight ends basically are now. He's a stand up pass catching tight end out of the spread offense, but long snapped for him. Ran their wildcat, did a billion different things for them. Just that alone, to me, makes him feel like a Bill Belichick third-round pick. Come play special teams, be our third tight end, be our...
And we'd have plenty to write about on the kid.
Oh, God, we didn't write 17 features on the... You know, we'll start with the mother, then we'll move on to the baseball career, then we'll move on to married and mature in high and college as an old guy. Had to recruit himself to the school, essentially. Just, the features write themselves. But all these tight ends, Fred, because that's a position we've talked about, that, could they, not only because they've had disappointments, but both David Thomas and Ben Watson could be gone after next season. Do you need to, kind of the Maroney thing, to find a young,
start replenishing,
developmental tight end there? There's some good pass catchers in this draft, but there's not a lot of two-way tight ends that can do the inline block thing. Supposedly, Pettigrew, the kid out of Oklahoma State, can. He actually ran a pretty bad 40 time. It was like a 4.82, maybe, which is obviously not a playmaking tight end type time. But all the other guys come out of spread offenses and basically have never blocked. So the kid out of Missouri, Kaufman, Chase Kaufman,
one of the many chases
that played for the Missouri football team, I think is pretty good. But I mean, don't you need to be able to block some? Or maybe he would just develop that. And
especially when he thinks he can. Especially if you're coming here, where the history has been guys who can catch, you know,
right,
and need to learn how to block, and then prove that they can't catch as well as we thought. Right. You know,
and then the other kid would be Ingram out of Florida, who is coming back from some injuries and some things. I believe didn't play last year. Is trying to prove that he's healthy and is kind of banking on the Florida thing. He said, I know they love Florida athletes up there, so maybe we can work something out. But the one blocking tight end in the draft is interesting because he's from Fresno State. Bear Posco, is it? Posco is one of the true blocking tight ends. And I would put him on the list of late-round possibilities coming from Pat Hill's Belichick system.
Right. Yeah, Bear Posco.
You know, Pat Hill, not only that he has a connection, but he did the offensive line development program in Cleveland. So the blocking, I think, would very much transfer.
His first name, real first name is McKenna.
Yeah.
McKenna Pascoe, but he goes by Bear.
Everywhere is Bear. I said to Eric, I didn't know anything about him, but he's a tight end named Bear. I just assumed he was a blocking tight end. Yeah, I mean, kind of makes sense. And he was.
Let's see. Jason and Chiba sends us an audio message.
We get to hear the man.
Yeah. So, wow. Jason, can you play that for us, Tucci? Why don't you?
He's got to load it up. He's getting there.
Okay. Jason and Chiba.
2G with his pants down.
Oh.
And where's Eric?
Ooh.
Oh. See now.
That was a quiet. Oh, see now.
Are we ready?
No.
He's not ready.
Okay. If we're ready to stretch.
All right, why don't you tell me when you're ready? I'll go to the next email. apparently that was too hard.
That's what she said.
Alex writes in, I have to say Paul did a very
on that one, but
Paul did a very good job on Thursday when I heard that he was all by himself. I thought that by 2 p.m. I would believe Bledsoe was still the quarterback for the Patriots. But the show was great, and the guests were very good. Congratulations, Paul, and you better start delivering Mr. Kirsch. Wow.
I just want to point out, can we go back to the last email that said Paul was really good, but then said, in the future, when the guys are away, do a best of show and don't have Paul on the air. So how good was he if you don't want him to ever do it again?
Well, I think, you know, small doses. I mean, you know,
he was good. He still said they used NPR and like boring and I might add that. But
I think, you know, he probably did a very informative show. Oops, I'm getting a thumbs up from 2G. Let's hear Jason from Chiba.
Hey, Cork Soakers, and hello from Chiba. Just a few noteworthy observations from last week. Number one, no one circles the wagons like Paul Perillo, though he's by far the most boring of the three of you. I mean, obviously we can't count Eric. He was clutch last Thursday. Props to you, fat ass.
Wow.
Number two, apparently John in L.A. and Mike Reese are the same person. Who would have guessed?
Really?
He's been fooling you all this time, hasn't he? He even called in before he called in, so I guess I can see why. Number three, searching one's Japanese computer for Japanese voice recording software in Japanese is a huge bitch. Huge. Number four, I'm a big fan of a good meal, but the wine tasting restaurant aficionado part of the blog is just more evidence of misdirection by Andy on the gay subject. All right, that's all I got, guys. Long live KMFDM. I'm out.
All right. Hey, that's
now, see,
good.
That's, I hate to say this, but that's by far the best example of what you wanted in an audio email.
Except for it sounding like you did it in a tin can.
Yeah, I still
got to go with the
content.
Kid. No, I'm talking about the content.
The content was excellent. Excellent. But no, I like what the, who's the, that does
premium.
That.
Mikey Vandalism.
Mikey Vandalism has grasped the technology as well.
Right.
The technology, but he gave his.
Yes, he brought it.
He
brought it.
I got one question.
It was method acting.
Just because you're in Japan doesn't mean your computer has to speak Japanese. Like,
right. Well, I don't know.
I mean,
maybe he wanted to do it.
I took
it in
my computer to Indy, and it didn't stop being my computer. It acted the same way. It didn't become a boring Midwestern computer.
I don't know. Eric, did you see the Oscars? Did you watch the Oscars?
I don't like award shows, Fred.
Oh, okay.
I just like to know what the results of the award shows were. So if they could have the Oscars without the actual Oscars show, I think that would be perfect.
So you didn't watch it?
Just announce who the winners are. No,
they were not good, Fred. Did you watch it?
Well, Kamani wanted me to say that after he said yes, that it's the gay Super Bowl. But he didn't watch it, but you did, Andy. So
yeah, so what does that tell you?
Right, exactly.
But did you?
I don't know. My wife was lying next to me.
Did you watch
Who
it,
was
Fred?
Lying next to you?
Did you watch it, Fred?
I
Kamani?
You know what, though? I turned it off before all the big awards. I just couldn't take it.
I want to know. I want to know.
I thought it was. Everyone says, "Oh, Hugh Jackman was great."
Well, that's what I wanted to know about. What did he do?
Well, I watched the beginning. Hugh Jackman was pretty funny.
He was. Well, he was okay, but I think people have come to want. At least this is what I want. Like Chris Rock making people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Making fun of the guy in the front row.
Industry jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Billy Jackman just danced around. He was impressed. He's clearly a talented guy more than I knew from Wolverine. But then I also found out he used to do Broadway.
He's on Broadway.
Yeah, he's a Broadway guy.
He's a Broadway guy.
So it was a little less impressive because I thought it was just like this action hero who suddenly is dancing and singing.
I mean, it's one thing, you know, the only time I kind of chuckled was, you know, the recessions has hit us all, you know, hit us all hard. This year it's in a movie called Australia. Next year we're going to have to downsize. It's going to be New Zealand, you know, ba-dum.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that was tied into
the whole, you know, opening act was, you know.
No, I know, but what was it? Somebody is an English actor who played a German this and won an award.
Right.
So-and-so is an American actor who played a Spanish this and won an award. I'm an Australian actor who was in a movie about an Australian guy that was called Australia, and I didn't win crap.
Right.
That made me laugh.
Right.
That's funny.
Yeah.
He wasn't bad, but then they had the whole thing where they had, like, the five past winners announced, each one individually announced each nominee.
That was ridiculous. They talked about these guys like each one of them cured cancer.
They weren't
it
all
was
great.
The most
Let's
pretentious,
be honest.
You know,
that's why I don't like the shows.
Thing that I've ever seen.
I just tell me who won. I don't want to go through the red carpet crap.
Yeah.
And all that nonsense.
Meryl, you are a gift to mankind.
Right.
No,
it's like not only are not all the past ones that great. Not all the people that were saying it you knew really felt it about the person.
Right.
It's not
right.
like me talking about Bo Jackson. I love him.
Yeah, if
I,
they could find somebody who's really that
really
passionate about
him,
that
like
person.
Mentors and
yeah,
like.
Great. But if you have to. They're basically acting.
It was fraud. Yeah.
They were
it was
acting.
All fraudulent.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. Anyway.
So, Whoopi Goldberg.
Well, we got
had,
some
like,
movies to catch up on.
Showing.
Oh, she's. Ugh. We got some movies to catch up on, though, now. I don't think I've seen any of these ones yet.
Them,
really. I hadn't heard
the,
of
the
some
Best
of
Picture
them.
One.
I saw Gran Torino, and it wasn't nominated.
Did you like that?
I loved it.
Did you really?
Don't say anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to see
that's one of the ones on my list, too.
Really good.
Yep.
But I need to see Frost Nixon,
that's,
and I need to
I
see.
Know. And we got to see Slumdog now just to see what this hubbub is all about.
I've heard a lot of people that I've talked to like personally that say, yeah, good, but not
I saw
Best
W
Picture.
That's
last,
what Lance
the other
said,
night.
The
yeah.
photographer that was on the trip with us.
I rented W the other night.
And
it was okay. Yeah.
Clearly agenda-driven?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's Oliver Stone, but they really did a hatchet job on Condoleezza Rice.
Really?
Oh, they made her sound like – remember Lily Tomlin to do the phone operator?
Yeah.
That's what they made her sound like. It was ridiculous.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But anyway, let's see. Nick writes in, hey, guys, and Eric, I think it's pretty funny the outrage from Pats fans over this Rosenfels to Minnesota thing. People seem to think it's a laughable move and the Vikings are a horrible franchise because of it. Is Castle better than Rosenfels? Maybe. Everyone points to that Indy game where Rosenfels had a meltdown, but nobody points out that he blew the game by fumbling the ball. Personally, if I'm looking for a quarterback, how often he fumbles is way down the list unless he's chronic like Kurt Warner. I would rather have Castle, of course, but would I rather have him for a high draft pick and the ridiculous contract he's going to get? I'm not sure. Anyway, what do you guys think? Well, it was written by Paul, obviously. No, that's Nick.
I still think Castle's better.
I
think Castle is going to be a long-term quarterback in this league who will be talented and win games for whatever
now,
team he goes to.
Rosenfels has a track record, you know, as the backup who comes in for the starter when things start to go haywire. On he's had the misfortune of being on bad teams for most of his career. So when he's had to come in, it's sort of all been on his shoulders to do whatever he's had to do. And I think he's done pretty well in those situations, but he's only had spot duty and not every season. You know, he had a little bit of a chance, I think, with Miami down the stretch a couple of years ago where he was the starter for a few games, and same kind of thing with Houston last year. But so there's more tape on him, so you know what you're getting with him. I just think the potential is greater for Castle, and I think you can't be afraid to roll the dice if you're looking for a franchise quarterback. I think Castle's your best bet right now.
Mm. Just an update. Buying lunch apparently got Iggy noticed. Number 3 on the SportsCenter rundown is Iggy can't believe it.
Oh.
We take people, you know, they come to our show and now they're on SportsCenter. It's amazing.
That's right. Another shout out to Iggy for today's
the
lunch.
Best. Gracias.
Thankfully, I got a chicken parm calzone and not paella in a box.
Keith in Central Florida, great job at the combine, Andy and Eric. However,
Why is there always going to be a damn however?
I was disappointed that the main positions of need for the Patriots are defensive back, linebacker, and defensive ends, and were scheduled for workouts, drills, and interviews on Monday and Tuesday after you guys had already left for home.
That's inaccurate.
Were you able to get any of the top players at these positions in need?
Yes.
If so, can you talk about any first impressions and who you would draft to fill the Patriots' needs?
We have been doing that in this show.
He always takes it to another level, being pompous with his response. All we missed out on was a half a day of defensive backs.
Right.
We talked to all the linebackers, defensive ends, all that.
Two of the top five guys.
Right. We were at Vontae Davis.
We're at Malcolm Jenkins.
I mean, we didn't miss that. You don't get to watch the workouts. If you want to watch the workouts, you stay home and watch NFL Network.
Exactly.
Or go to Fred. Did you see they have NFL Live now on the website where they have like five cameras and you can pick it on your laptop or something?
Took that idea from our thing at the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
Our innovative four-box thing.
Yeah.
Four boxes, yeah.
You'd like just one.
Oh. I know. Oh, you got the plane trip story. Yeah.
You know how when Eric goes on vacation, he generally finds a woman he likes to marry, and she doesn't know
Andy
he exists.
And Bilo witnessed it this time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who was it?
So did her fiancé, who was sitting three rows behind.
No. Lubricants.
He was, like, in love. They're talking about
She started
life.
It, by the way.
You want to eat my salad?
She started just life. She's a kindergarten teacher, lives in the Sharon area.
Loves Patriot Place,
Fred.
Yeah,
so she's a liar, but that's okay. So you could just see, you know, he was falling in love. It was like Egypt all over again.
Well, let's not go that far.
Then they get off the plane.
It wasn't
and
that.
The sad moment just comes when the fiance comes up because they couldn't sit together and gets off with her.
No.
And then Eric was just crushed. And you remember how long it took him to get over the Egypt girl.
I know.
It's same thing again.
It's not nearly that bad. Not nearly that bad. But she was cute.
He was in love.
Have you tried these online eHarmony and the.
We're not going that.
Why not? No. It worked for a lot of people.
No, those things have become so commonplace, so.
But that's good. So now the variety on there is better.
No, it's just the opposite. You would think that, but the opposite is true.
If everyone's using it, now you have the selection.
Yeah, no, that's just the thing. It used to be selective because there were fewer people on it. So
but that's not good.
Would you shut up and let me explain?
Jeez.
For Christ's sake.
I just like to point out, we got an old guy who's been married for 10 years and probably out of the game for 20 giving dating advice to the guy who hasn't had a date in 8 months.
Well,
this is the worst argument that's ever taken place on this show.
Well,
no, from what I'm hearing, the argument is when there were fewer people doing that, it was a more selective group. So you had better candidates who were up there because there were people who were serious, who were looking for serious things. Now it's like going to a bar again, except you're online. There's anybody and everybody, and the matches they give you are horrible.
Earlier is for more desperate people because there was this, you know, connotation of if you're online
doing that, you're
a real loser.
There was a stigma.
And it was true. You know, but now it's more commonplace. Not just the losers do it. Now, you know, normal people are doing it because it's more accepted.
Yeah, it's just you. That's conventional thinking, but it's the opposite is true.
I don't see
how. Have you done it?
How could
it not be? Because I know plenty of people who've done it.
If everyone's doing it, then by default, it can't be just losers.
No.
Everyone's doing it.
That's not what I was
saying,
Fred. By SAT logic,
everyone would be losers.
That's not what I was saying, Fred. What I was saying was that you had a better chance of finding the person you were looking for earlier.
If you're a loser.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
Now, are you talking from experience or just hearsay?
I'm talking from people who've done it.
Okay, don't listen to those. Listen to what the facts are, okay?
I know,
Fred.
These are people.
Dude.
Don't listen to them.
Fred.
They don't consider themselves losers. They can't say, well, I was a loser and I used to do it. So don't listen to them.
One of my best friends got married to the girl he met on there. So I'm taking this from people who've done it and have succeeded.
So what does he know? He doesn't do it anymore.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, he's married. He
right.
needs to do it.
So he doesn't know what's going on now.
Speaking of losers.
Give it a shot.
Oh, God.
I think they have one for just artists.
Fred, please.
What? No, I'm serious. I think, you know.
I'm sure they do. They have one for
no
just everything.
Formal artistic training.
Yeah, so would he really apply? He's never sold a painting. He never had formal artistic training.
Oh,
is
I have to go this weekend, Fred. I have to deliver painting to the the gallery that I'm showing in next
month. Oh, nice. Which one are you going to choose?
It's one that I did from Italy. It's a shot of, I'm calling it Angels and Demons. Because it has to, it has, it's tying it in with the movie.
Right on that?
Tying it in with the movie.
Say, are you going to get?
No, you can name paintings whatever you want to name them.
Yeah, you
that
can.
Is so
you
can.
It's not the same industry.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you
it's
can
different.
You can do whatever you want.
But it's sort of, it's clearly trying to ride the gravy train.
Of course.
But that one you named Mona Lisa, that's not going to fly.
Yeah, that's not going to fly, no. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Okay, Cormac writes in, I just wanted to say mucho thanks for the bobblehead and cap that arrived yesterday. I sent out the prizes for the people that won
what
the PFW picks contest. I finally got that done.
What bobbleheads?
I sent
the bobblehead we made of you, Eric.
I sent a bobblehead and a cap to all the people that won that picks contest.
You know how Eric's bobs. A bobblehead of who?
The other bobble- I think it was Tom Brady. A Tom Brady bobblehead and a cap. So very thoughtful of you to send it on. It will be another esteemed item in my Patriots memorabilia collection. By the way, I hope you have checked out the Irish Patriots site by now. It's paddypatriots.com, P-A-D-D-Y. I must say I did chuckle when I received my membership letter from you, Fred, where you quoted the success of the Seattle event last season. Never have you come so close to losing your job, yet you quote the event on the membership letter. Brilliantly steeped in irony.
Brilliant.
Well done to you, sir. Anyway, just wanted to thank you again. Hope those boys got home safe from the combine. Their blogging was excellent, though NFL.com still doesn't have the 40 dash times for the cornerbacks. Boo to that.
That's coming today.
Yeah.
They're running today.
They're running them today,
so they'll have them later.
Yeah,
so,
when we talk to them at the combine, that's sort of like the beginning of their whole time there.
2 days ahead of workouts, I believe.
Yeah, we talk to them 2 days
so
ahead of when
to
they work out.
Do you get to actually watch the workouts?
No.
They
we're
still
not allowed
don't allow
to,
people?
No.
That's ridiculous.
The only
even
people
we're,
that do are NFL.com bloggers.
And we're way closer now at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Oh, you
stadium
can kind of see in.
Yeah, you can. We can almost kind of look
see
into
over
the
top
stadium.
Of it. Because we're higher
that's
than the
that's just nonsense that they don't let you in there.
Especially now that they have like five cameras on TV.
Right.
But
it's
you know
so
what
ridiculous.
I think it is? It's all the coaches don't want to be seen. It's not so much they don't want you to see the players.
It's so ridiculous.
So put you on the other side. It's a big freaking
but,
stadium.
Like, coaches fall asleep sometimes, and you don't want, you know, I don't think they want that out there.
Oh, for crying out loud.
You guys get us a little quiet over here.
Like, well, they just thanks. Showed it, and I think it looked like Wade Phillips was up in a
well, you know
luxury
what? If,
suite
if I'm an owner? And I want the writers
exactly.
in there so my guys don't fall asleep.
Right. You don't want a coach falling asleep at the most
right.
important
I'm
thing.
I'm this guy.
Oh. Fred, why did so Bill Belichick asinine. Speak at the combine? I want one of you to read between the lines. Never done it before. Certainly has never done a press conference before this. He had done some off-the-side stuff in the past with us.
No, I think I said
you
that.
No, I don't know. I think that every year, if he's there, he gets asked. And this year, he probably just said yes. I mean, I don't know.
That's the analysis I'm looking for.
No,
he probably just said yes this year.
He probably just, you know,
I
said
think that's
what
pretty
the hell?
Evident.
You know, maybe there was not as much pressure this year.
Is there any?
He's had a little bit more time to prepare.
The blog on Patriots.com, the PFW blog, did a fine job thanks to Bilo, who put the list together. We blogged that they were going to be one of six teams not represented at the combine.
Mm-hmm. We had to change it.
Shortly after we posted that, he decided to do it. Could it be because he became more aware that he was of a select few that's not taking part? Could it be?
We could say that we have that type of influence. Yeah.
Could it be in any way related to Scott Pioli flapping his gums the day earlier and talking about Bill's player and saying he hasn't signed the tender? And
it could.
Could be anything there.
It could.
Would have been nice though if he had actually addressed that topic.
Would have been nice if someone had asked.
Yeah. Obviously, you and I are precluded from doing so.
We enjoy being employed.
Yeah.
But yeah, none of the other
that's
national
the one
media
thing we
types
learned.
Had any stones whatsoever. This is everybody of note who covers football throughout the country gathered in one place hearing Bill talk the previous day, not 24 hours earlier, had brought up about, like Andy said, a player on the Patriots and the whole thing, and nobody asked him.
Hmm. Well, I don't know.
Peter King's moving to Boston, by the way.
Is he? To live permanently?
Yeah.
Full time?
Buying something in the Back Bay.
In the Back
Bay. I would feel weird talking about personal issues on the air, but considering he was yelling it into his cell phone and making it very much a public issue, I don't feel bad about it.
He seems to have every conversation like that.
Yeah, because
no matter who he's talking to.
I'm Peter King. I'm more important than the rest of you poos.
How dumb is Peter King?
Pretty dumb.
Wow. So he's moving to Boston.
Yeah.
Wow.
That should not help.
See, I would think that someone who travels as much as he does, you know, would want to live in a place that's easy to get to and from the airport.
Boston would not be that place.
No.
Right.
You know, like Kansas City or something. Some, you know, or Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Even Atlanta would be easier. I don't know.
Chicago.
Well, I don't know if Chicago's
he wants
any
to be just
to
closer
Boston.
To his beloved Red Sox.
Chicago's got two airports. I figured one of them is going to be easy to get to.
I hear they're just awful, both of them. They used to call O'Hare the black hole because you go in and you never come out. It's just a tough airport. Let's see.
That's what Eric calls his boyfriend.
Let's see now. Mick from Ireland, for starters.
You're the only one laughing, a-hole.
Just to give Paul the credit he is due for his great solo show, it was really good. I was just wondering who Eric and Andy thought was the best player at the best combine, like in any potential Patriots in any big backs in the late rounds we could draft. Any what player did himself the most harm in the draft?
Andre Smith, most harm.
Most harm, big
best
time.
Best player is probably Aaron Curry based on everything going in and then the way he handles himself at the combine. And a back to keep an eye on, Marlon Lucky, Nebraska.
Yes. Yes.
Listed as an undrafted free agent coming in, mm-hmm. ran one of the top, I don't know, 840 times, I believe, for running backs, and had already spoken with the Patriots.
And
a guy that could have come out last year and bid, mm-hmm. according to the NFL's own advisory committee, a third-round pick. Had some issues going back, but I think he's a guy to keep an eye on as a late-round pick.
Especially that combine performance coming off the heels of a very impressive MVP game MVP performance in the East-West Shrine game, where he had a couple of touchdowns and about not maybe 100 yards rushing, give or take a few. Yeah, he's a guy. He's definitely a guy to keep an eye on in mid rounds, potential Patriot type thing.
And also the guy out of Virginia who ran the fastest, Pierman, Aaron maybe, is that his first name?
Cedric Pierman.
You know, coming out of the UVA program that Al Groh runs down there. Seems to be very adept at catching passes, pass protection, all the things you need a young back to do if he's going to get on the football field.
All right, well, let's take a quick break. I don't think we've taken one yet, or maybe
we
just
took
one.
We did.
Yeah. We got more emails when we come back.
Want to be rewarded just for shopping? At Patriot Place in Foxborough, you can be. Use your already existing Visa cards when you visit New England's most unique destination and earn points while enjoying everything Patriot Place has to offer. The points you earn from shopping, dining, and the entertainment at Patriot Place can be redeemed for amazing rewards, like free admission to the hall at Patriot Place presented by Raytheon, tickets to Gillette Stadium event, autographed Patriots merchandise, and more. The Patriot Place Rewards Program is the first of its kind. Simply enroll your existing Visa cards. There's no approval and no new card. Enrolling is easy and it's free. Register one or all of your existing Visa cards and you'll get all the benefits associated with your existing card, plus Patriot Place rewards at no extra cost. And every time you shop, you'll be entered to win a $1,000 shopping spree. Visit patriot-place.com to enroll your existing Visa cards today. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So, stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
Here's what PFW in Progress would sound like if we had a bleep button.
Fred, what'd you think it was like today when you came in this morning? How'd you feel?
Colder than a witch's. What? I can't say that? That's not good?
Well, we do have the thing at the beginning now, the warning.
Come on, guys. You know you can't say on Patriots.com radio, and you call yourselves professionals.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress.
When did we ever call ourselves professionals?
Paul.
Not once.
Paul's at his annual physical. I hope it's annual. I don't know. He might not have had one for a
while. I think it's like the census. It comes around every 10 years.
Every 10 years?
Yeah.
He might not see the next one.
Only thing physical he's doing this year.
Oh, good.
Oh, listen to the pot calling the kettle black over here. You're wasting away to nothing.
Listen to the Ethiopian behind the glass.
Wow. All right, TG and NJ writes in, and the email address is webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482.
He turns to the wall again to read the number.
It's habit.
I'd just like to tell you, I was at the Combine. Paul wanted me to call in. You know what I did? I walked out in the hallway, opened my cell phone, and dialed 508-543-7482. It's just, it should be ingrained in your head.
You've been doing the show for how many years?
15.
I have a bad memory when it comes to people's names.
And this phone number.
And this phone number.
Glad you went into journalism.
TG and NJ says, just wanted to give kudos to Paulie for his Castle-esque performance on Thursday. And great job.
These raves just keep getting
Great job to the Combine effusive. Kids, Eric and Andy.
Thank you.
For their work and blogging at the Combine. Great work. Only person who hasn't done any work lately is Fred and Tucci. Today's question, will Matt Castle be traded before or during the draft?
Before.
Before.
Very before.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen, I think, that first weekend of free agency. Yeah, first 3 to 4 days.
See, I don't think the Patriots are going to hold out for, you know, incredible demands. I think if a reasonable offer comes down the road, they're going to take it.
I also think that that might be why they applied the tag so early, was to get teams thinking, okay, this is what we're going to have to – what are we going to have to do to get him if we want him?
Right. Before you make any moves,
right,
we'll make a move so that it opens you up for any possibility.
By the time we can officially start it, we'll already have something on the table. We can get it done quickly.
Oh, very important.
Yes.
We need to send all our millions and millions of listeners who haven't yet voted to Patriots.com take part in the Matt Castle voting so you can rate Matt Castle. Where does he rank among the best NFL quarterbacks? We give you a list of 40. We ask you for 20 spots. And we want you to, I guess I'm assuming a little bit here, put Matt Castle in one of those 20 slots if you don't think
Paul,
he belongs.
Or you put whoever you want in those
Paul
20
voted
spots.
Paul's got him slightly below Sage Rosenfels, who I'm not sure is one of our 40 options.
Right.
Yeah, no, he's not.
So
Paul suddenly thinks he's a contrarian.
Well, see, here's
he didn't want to cut him when everybody wanted to cut him, and now
he doesn't
want to
sign him.
He wants to cut him, that everybody else wants to give
Paul's
him $60
million. Paul's M.O. is whatever the fans like can't be right.
Right.
Because he hates the fans.
It's true.
And whatever the fans are saying about the local team, he's got to go again. It's his nature. It's his nature. He just cannot stand fans. He really doesn't like them.
I know.
Meanwhile, I mean, he's up, at midnight with his brother giggling about Northeastern hockey. it just doesn't make any sense.
It's too bad he's not here right now, because I thought it very unfortunate story, but it was kind of funny for us. Given Paul.
Speaking of, I saw that movie Step Brothers. Oh my God, laugh out loud!
I've really heard that
hysterical.
I've heard good things about
raunchy,
it.
Raunchy, crude,
as it should
really.
Be.
Really,
you
That's
would
what
love
I'm
it.
Looking for.
You would love it. Loved it.
The one star from Northeastern who was even invited to the Combine was listed as one of the top five tight ends. The Brian Mandeville. The day after he met with the media,
laughing?
I'm laughing because of what it means to Paul. I mean, we were here. We were thinking, okay, the kids.
This is a Northeastern guy.
Northeastern tight end, really tall, big kid. By all accounts, one of the best players at the position in this year's draft. And then he finds out he has the heart condition, and the doctors tell him he can't play anymore. And I'm thinking, Paul. I could just imagine Paul saying that it's a conspiracy against him and Northeastern,
Which, by the way, he's also getting second opinions out west. I don't like the sounds of that.
He's looking for a doctor to say,
can
play.
The Reggie Lewis thing. You essentially got 32 opinions
in Indy.
But
did
they
just diagnose this?
They just found it in Indy when they were at the Combine.
Wow.
He was advised to not play football again and do no heavy lifting or not do heavy lifting.
Hmm.
So, and I mean, this is a guy who, you come from Northeastern, you get invited to the Combine,
right.
You're going to the Senior Bowl, you're wowing people, you're going to get
drafted,
it's just a question of how
that's
high.
That's weird, because, I would assume at Northeastern they make you take an annual physical in order to play football.
Well, every player has to do that. But,
I mean, Tufts, what they do.
It was a physical, but not like...
Andy, cough. Okay, you're good.
Well, they test your knees.
But it didn't involve like EKGs or anything.
No.
And I'm guessing...
They probably went through a lot more
of
that here in Indy. Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of places. It's high school physicals. I remember they basically looked at you, said, "Does he have scoliosis?" No. Okay, he can play.
Yeah.
I mean, as you get higher, they get more in depth. Yeah. And the combine, these guys spend upwards of a half a day or a day at the hospital.
Wow, that must be something, though. You go and you think, okay, this could be the beginning.
Right, that's
of
what
my
I'm saying.
Life.
It was a horrible story.
He's a rising star.
Yeah.
And then before he can get any money, the star just burns out.
It's one thing, okay, you go through all this and then you don't get drafted. But to have this.
He was going to get drafted.
He was going to get drafted.
I know what I'm just saying, but to have this, this doesn't just affect football.
Oh,
this
it affects his whole life.
Life.
Because had he gotten drafted and signed and then they find, at least then he would get a medical pension, whatever. There'd be a little money.
Right.
His football career ended. All hopes ended immediately at the
combine.
Whereas even if he sucked and he got drafted, say he's a fourth round pick. He's going to bounce around for two or three training camps,
stash some money away.
Yeah. You're going to make a couple hundred grand minimum.
Right.
Right now, he's got to find, you know, I was at the combine Saturday. Monday, I need to find a job. I got to get my resumes.
Yeah.
That sucks.
It's horrible.
Terrible story.
Somebody's at the door.
Hola, yo soy Iggy desde Madrid.
Hey.
Now it's Lunch time guy. For Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary
Urban.
Word of the Day.
Like that.
That's Word of the Day. How's that paella treating my amigo con grande cabeza? Andy, you suck.
That's my favorite part.
Andy, you suck.
Andy, you suck. Today's word, well done, Two Gender. I don't know if this is real or fake or if you made this up, but Paul-ating. And it's got nothing to do with, like, being annoying or boring or anything that is Paul.
Uh-huh.
It's the act of seducing a member of the opposite sex while still being quite gay, with the sole purpose of fornication in mind.
What?
So Eric
Don't
is quite a Paul-ater.
No.
He was Paul-ating that guy's fiancé on the plane.
She started it.
No, she didn't.
She did. I knew she was with a guy. I assumed it was a husband. But
she had a large diamond on her.
I
on
wasn't
her left.
Looking down there. I just saw that she was with a guy, so I assumed that they were together. So I was also surprised.
So
that
every girl you see within a 5 foot radius of a man, you assume is.
And plus,
no wonder you.
They were sitting with us in the terminal at the
Eric,
gate.
Eric, when you're on the street like you are, you need to be looking for those indicators, like rings on fingers.
Yes,
you know.
Fred, if I see a girl with a guy, then you don't even need to look down at the hand.
No, you do.
Yeah, you do.
Because it could be the brother.
Kyle and Lori used to go everywhere together. They weren't banging.
Yes, but Kyle and Lori weren't holding hands and hugging like these two were in the gate terminal when we were waiting for the plane.
Were you stalking her?
They were sitting right next to us, you moron.
Like taking notes and
they
photos?
Were sitting right next to us.
Eric, all you got to do is ask him two simple questions. Do you love him? Or are you going to marry him? That's it.
What?
He didn't even, by the way, he fell in love. He never got her name. I didn't even ask if you got a number, but I go, what was her name? We never got that far.
Far?
When you start talking, don't you just say, by the way, I'm Eric, you know?
I would have done that if I knew that she didn't have the other guy there.
She's still a human being.
Yeah, but, you know.
Is she going to buy a painting?
Shut up.
She's a kindergarten teacher. She probably works with, I believe Kathleen Whiteside works in the Sharon School District.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to make a couple calls.
Her kindergarten students can probably draw better.
You never know. She could be ready to break up.
Yeah, maybe it's a bad relationship.
Why don't you make a call?
We were hoping the guy was going to hit. The guy was stalky.
Was she good looking?
She was cute.
Yeah, she wasn't bad. She was cute.
She was cute.
Yeah. She will look good for
short,
the next
petite,
15,
older?
20 years. Won't change. No.
No.
Younger than Era. I mean,
younger than
like
me,
40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm 36.
But how
she was probably 20,
she was probably like 26, 27.
Okay.
Maybe. Eric had no chance. I mean, we can joke all we want, but Eric had no chance.
She started talking to me, not the other way around.
Yes, because you're in the friend zone, gay zone thing. She had no
there
fear
no,
of you.
Oh, shut up.
Wow.
I almost said it again.
All right, web radio at patriots.com.
We got along much better on our
508-543-7482 is the phone number. Let's see. Next email is Boris, he says.
Have we talked about Michael
Scott
Crabtree
Boris?
Yet?
No, you haven't.
Michael Crabtree developed, well, shouldn't develop. They found the start
a stress fracture.
Of a stress. Well, not even, he doesn't really have it yet. He could play through it and it may never be a problem. It sounds like he's going to decide having the surgery after he runs the 40 at his pro day.
Right.
Which he wasn't planning on running at the combine anyway, so it didn't really affect that. Initial reports said he was going to have the surgery, which has a 10-week. Would sideline him for 10 weeks. He wouldn't be able to do his pro day. How would that hurt him? But all the guys, like Pioli and all the other guys that answered said,
who cares?
We have plenty of tape on Michael Crabtree. We can decide whether he's.
If I were him, I'd want the surgery now. Get the 10-week recovery period over. That way when you're drafted, you can go to minicamp.
It's just
rookie
a stress
camp.
Fracture,
But you know how people look at it. If he doesn't run, it could hurt him two slots, let's say. He goes 7th instead of 5th.
Well, that's bogus.
Yeah, well. That drop comes with
$5 million
difference or
something. I just think it's preposterous that anybody who is willing to drop him two slots because they didn't see him run a 40 is not worth their salt.
There are questions about his tape. Speed and getting off the line of scrimmage.
Look at his tape then. You don't need to.
Yeah, but there's plenty of wide receivers who were great in college who sucked in the NFL.
But you can tell if a guy can get off the line by watching his tape, not by whether he runs a straight
against
line for 40
questionable
yards.
Defenses in that conference.
Yeah, but you're not going to be able to gauge that by watching
him. You know
his
top-end speed, and as an underclassman, you don't have a legitimate speed on him.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
Yeah, you're one of those guys that would have drafted Mike Williams, just like me, and we would have regretted it when we handed him $40 million with the fifth overall pick.
I would have drafted Mike Williams.
Me too, year earlier, before he got screwed by the league.
Right.
Boris says he's from Costa Rica.
Hola,
Scott Boris. He's been listening for the past 4 years. You do a great job. I feel very strongly that Belichick will draft Percy Harvin with the first round. I have no problem with it, as he seems to be a fine talent. However, I recently read that he is a bit of a problem child coming from a tough neighborhood and being an a-hole. Did you hear anything about this?
Didn't stop Andy.
Well, I haven't heard a ton about that. The biggest concern I've heard about him are durability and being able to take the wear and tear. He's had a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
He's a guy that came late because he had extra medical testing when we were at the combine.
Yeah. He was supposed to be with the regular group of receivers, and he was a day late, and we asked him about that, and he said, well, I had to take MRIs for pretty much every team because they all wanted to see what was wrong with my ankle.
I would be mildly disappointed if they drafted him because I
here's the thing. I asked him about the connection between Urban Meyer and Belichick, and he said, oh, yeah, that name comes up all the time. In fact, Bill's been to our practices a few times and has even pulled me aside and told me some things that he thinks I should work on. So there's already an established relationship there, however nascent it may be, but it's there, and that's different than any other kid or any other prospect who has never seen or met Bill Belichick before. So I can see where people are, you know, intrigued by it. And when he's healthy, he's great. He's a playmaker. But there's the durability issue and the fact that he's from Florida, which shouldn't be dismissed. I mean, these guys are great college players, and then they get to the NFL, and for the most part, they don't turn into anything.
And the fact that the Patriots' defense sucked last year.
Right.
I don't like this new development of white spandex pants at the combine.
Yeah, I'm not interested in seeing all that.
You can see the junk.
Yeah, not interested in seeing
which is a pro for Eric, but a con for the rest of us.
Oh. Stripper says of Crabtree, he was never double-teamed in college. He runs a 4.6, and he sucks.
Says the unbiased guy
from Oklahoma. So, by the way, we like that Nick Harris guy, Stripper.
Yeah, if he didn't run like Fred.
How do I run?
Slow.
Short, choppy steps, heavy breathing,
beach three sports, and one-on-one and tennis.
Strippers, Joaquin Iglesias also gave us a good impression at the combine.
Oh, Joaquin.
He's the wide receiver.
Iglesias.
Yeah, it's Julio's son.
Okay.
Enrique's brother?
Josh says, uncover every stone. What the hell does that mean, Fred? It's leave no stone unturned, you knucklehead.
Who was that?
Josh.
Yeah, because if you uncover the stone, you still didn't look under it.
Right.
So something could be hiding
under
it.
Well, actually, you don't actually uncover a stone.
You turn
lift
it over.
It up.
Right. But that's my point. Yeah. You uncovered it, but never overturned
it.
So
I mixed
semantics.
Yeah, whatever.
It's like beating the bushes for a diamond in the rough.
It's like when he said he's putting perfume on a pig. We knew what you meant, but it was wrong.
Can these people put some pants on? More pants? Looser pants?
Josh writes in, you guys were just discussing the running game with a caller. I asked this question. Was there any better hit on the field during a Patriots game last season than the hit Sammy Morris put on Dante Whitner in the last game of the year in Buffalo? That was such a great hit, ran right over him.
The two that were put on Wes Welker?
Yeah.
That was a great hit.
I tell you, what I'm looking forward to if they continue doing it, and I think they should, is Hochstein at fullback. He was tremendous.
They need to sign him first.
I mean, he gets out of his stance, and he hit the hole and just leveled people.
Yeah, the only thing I worry about is the Richard Seymour effect.
Why can't I be the director?
Getting hurt?
Luckily, he's not Richard Seymour.
But, he's not Richard Seymour.
No, he's not.
Hi,
luckily, he's disposable.
Right.
No offense, Russ.
Right.
Yes, but you have any offensive lineman go down pretty much. Russ Hochstein's the guy that comes in and replaces them.
I know.
Billy Yates.
Yeah, they re-signed Billy Yates.
Yeah, he's a fine player. He is a fine player.
Oh, we didn't talk about Tully Bantekane coming back to the team. Yeah. Now, when they got rid of Kelly Washington, I was like, that was kind of odd. I thought he was a pretty good
player. Which they haven't
player.
Officially done yet either.
Oh, they haven't?
Well, they never officially re-signed Yates.
They never officially announced that they'd cut Yates either.
Maybe PR was having a staycation.
Well, anyway, then they brought in Tully Bantakane, which I think he is a career special teamer. That's what he does.
At 5.5 sacks for the Patriots 1 year.
Yeah. But I can see now that he would fill the hole if Kelly Washington is indeed gone from the team.
Yes. Mm. If Tully Bantakane makes this team, it'll be as a primary special teamer and a backup on the outside edge rush.
Not convinced to make the team yet. But
yeah, I'm not sold he'll be on the team. Nice man, though. I'm a big fan of him in the locker room. Good guy.
Chris with a T-I-N writes in.
Christian with a T-I-N. So that's a chin-chin.
Christian.
More chins than a Chinese phone book. Ho!
Perillo is the man. Great show last week by the portly one from Everett. Tough to do when you're alone. So another.
Luckily, he had Mike Reese to fill in most of the show.
You know, I didn't hear this show. This must have been quite the
show. And the caller stepped up, too.
Well, it was a team effort. It was a PFW team effort. You can answer this. Do Mike Reese and John from L.A., are they really the same person that was referenced earlier? Or on the radio? Generally, you answer into a microphone.
No, I don't know what that meant.
2G wasn't listening to the show that day.
Yeah, you probably napped through that show, as you do most. What you notice it's funny, though? The listener or the emailer pointed out that the two people that we don't know what they do are Fred and 2Gender. Fred, it's okay because he's a boss.
Mm-hmm.
You earn your spot in this world. You work your way up. Eventually, people say, I don't know what he does.
You
he's
delegate.
The boss.
You
right.
delegate. Yeah.
How does the lowest guy on the totem pole get away with doing nothing? I just don't get it. Especially in these economic times, there's millions of Americans that would kill for a job. One of them is a phone call away.
It's true.
2G's doing a good job, and he's doing a lot more than just producing the show.
I think that's coming at a serious detriment to this show.
Oh.
Because
he's worrying about advertising and revs and
Well, we all have to wear more than one hat now.
Yeah, but he's not capable.
But not April 4th, home
but
opener.
Not from noon to
I
2.
See Dallas.
Unlike the PFW writers, Eric and Andy, we had to start writing newsletters. Those are going out
that's
flawlessly,
right.
boom,
mm-hmm.
into the email system.
And we're not writing those during the show.
Right. That hasn't cut from our show prep, and 2Gender gets a couple extra duties, and the show goes down the pooper.
You just said duties and pooper in the same sentence.
Well done, Fred.
Jake in Pennsylvania. Hey, guys, 2G and Andy. I have a question that I think is avoided.
Not funny.
I have a question that I think is avoided by all Patriots fans. Usually head coaches last about 5 years in the NFL. Nowadays, even shorter. Bill has been here since 2001. Actually, 2000. So he's getting up
Patriots
there.
Patriots fans really do think history started when Tom Brady entered the lineup in week 3, 2001.
So he's getting up there in years as far as his tenure in the New England is concerned. Also, Mr. Kraft has been here quite a while himself. I realize the owner usually lasts longer, though. How long do you think it will be until the Kraft-Belichick partnership ends, and how do you think it will happen? Will Bill leave? Will Kraft fire Bill? Will Kraft sell the team? Will they leave at the same time? Have fun discussing. I hear it on the podcast.
I don't think Kraft is going anywhere.
No. Yeah.
And I don't think he's firing Bill. I think when Bill leaves, he'll
Bill,
walk away.
Bill will be here as long as
when
he wants to be
he decides
he
doesn't want to coach anymore.
Right.
He'll make that decision.
And I don't – while he said he's not going to be Marv Levy, I don't see anything that's pointing to it's coming.
Yeah,
it could come tomorrow, but I don't know.
Well, Marv Levy was like 80 when
right,
he quit.
That's
so,
the other thing.
And Bill's in his 50s. Right.
Bill would be in the league like 70 years if he went to Marv Levy's age.
Right, so.
But, I mean – do you see any signs of any reason to believe?
I don't see any sign right now.
I mean, if he was thinking of leaving, wouldn't he be loading up on things? And, like, he just seems like he's building for the long haul every time he does something.
Yeah. I mean, I could see, like, if the labor negotiations break down and just all hell breaks loose, him calling it quits after 2010.
Well, yeah.
You know?
I mean, if then he's kind of getting pushed out,
yeah.
I think. If the league's in chaos,
right.
then okay, maybe. But I mean, say.
But short of that.
Say he was thinking about leaving next year and he loves Josh McDaniels. Wouldn't he have said, Josh, I'm out next year. You stay here. Like, or something like that. I would think he would. There'd be some possible hints or signs. I see nothing other than he's just in it for the long haul.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is good for Patriots fans. Because ever since he got here in week 3 of 2001, they've been on a roll.
Andrew in the Ukraine, just a quick question. What happens to Castle's stock with only two big-name quarterbacks coming out?
What happens? I mean, well, first of all, you could argue that there's no big-name. I know there's two, Sanchez and Stafford, but they're both 6'2", which right there makes them not prototypical franchise quarterbacks, and both have some questions.
Mm-hmm.
Sanchez only started 16 games. Stafford stares at his receivers and all that, doesn't read.
And Bradford doesn't come out till next year.
Or longer.
Yeah.
He could play two more years.
Yeah.
He'll probably be out next year. But I think it helps his value. It now seems to be more of a consensus. All these quote-unquote experts
people are saying if he were
Castle's
in the draft,
better.
He'd be the number one
Kuiper,
pick.
Are we
missing the Joe Flacco? Is there a guy that just isn't being talked about right now that's going to emerge?
No.
I don't think so.
You got the Freeman kid is next from Kansas State. Then you got the kid from Ball State.
Nate Davis.
What about this Pat White guy?
Wasn't impressed with it.
No.
Yeah, he's not going to be a franchise quarterback.
He's short.
No.
He wants to play quarterback, but I'm not sure he's going to.
I don't think he will. He could be your Percy Harvin type,
but
perhaps.
He seems a little hesitant to want to be that.
He's one
of those guys that
wants to prove a point and be a quarterback.
I'd want to prove a point and have a 15-year NFL career personally.
Sure.
But Flacco was on the radar at this time last year.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't come out of nowhere.
He was seen as a developmental. As the top two, and then all of a sudden, he got drafted in the first round.
He was seen as a first-round pick.
Yeah.
He was. Now, the performance was not what people expected because, coming from a small school, didn't play defenses, didn't ski, like everything. But the draft pick, I think he kind of went where at this time he was starting to be talked about.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay.
So I don't see. It's not a great quarterback class.
No.
So that helps Castle.
Yes. Everybody has already said he's the best quarterback available this spring.
Right.
Sure. Stripper says, my prediction on running backs, last year was the year of the rookie running back. This year the rookies will stink. That's his.
I said that earlier. Yeah. I mean, there's backs there that everybody seems to like in different ways. You do get the feeling there's no great one. That Marino
Even
is the
Wells.
Best.
When I first saw him, I said, this guy's going to be good. But the more I see him, maybe it's just something that will change, but he seems to take plays off. He doesn't run hard on every play.
And he was asked about tapping out of games at the combine and kind of blew it off. Everybody does that, whatever. But he's also he's like 230.
He's a big guy, yeah.
But I'm not sure he runs like a big guy. I mean,
yeah.
Brandon Jacobs is a big guy who tries to kill people.
Yeah. He tries to avoid. Yeah, you're right.
So I think Marino may be the best, and I'm not sold if he's going to be the best, if he's going to be an elite.
Right.
Adrian Peterson, next kind of guy.
And finally, Stripper says Eric needs to go on plentyoffish.com. It's a free dating website.
He told you this off the air.
Oh, that's right.
Now he brought it on the air.
Yeah, right.
We're getting back to your love life on the air.
I'm just cleaning up the emails here.
Sure.
Just getting
to
the emails.
Eric doesn't like fish or women.
Inaccurate. The fish
like
part.
Fish?
Yeah. No, the fish part's accurate. The women part is inaccurate.
Well, sometimes it's.
All right, Fred.
Redundant.
All right.
All right. Well, that's going to be this edition of PFW in Progress. Let's see. Today's Tuesday, right?
Yes.
So we'll see you next Thursday.